John Main, 35 Riders. Let's go.
That's why. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
but they ain't even who we get to know. They be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Came from busting out of sign. Then I'm running like a nut.
Why? I hustle hard in the sun, rain, sleep, snow. I cry when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. John Main, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day, all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas high. In the world, wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking.
That's why. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
money ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept busting now. I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts.
That's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
money ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept busting now. I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts.
Why? Remember back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Main's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard, hustle hard, push, homie. Back then, I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool, cause I'm a ride on 84. I had nothing, so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling, and I jumped up in the rap game. Young Main can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who won this city.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
money ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm shining. I'm running like it's nuts.
That's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
money ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm shining. I'm running like it's nuts.
Why? I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle, legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own. Hustle.
Welcome, listeners. My sister G-Force did a cut on G14 Radio. Goes down every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern and 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm your host, Onyx, and I got the co-host, Tyrone and Golden Fleece, on the line with me. What's up, guys?
What's happening? What's happening? Yo, what's up, world? Another Wednesday on the cut. Let's get it.
Alrighty. For those of you tuning in for the first time, it is G14 Radio via Global14.com, which is Jermaine Dupri's social networking site. Very interactive and a great place for you to get your network on, a lot of groups to join and whatnot. So if you're into the social network game, make sure you go ahead and check that one out. I'm definitely sure you're going to like this one. And JD actually did an interview earlier today about the site, and we had a 14-14 tour this past fall where Crown Royal and JD went from city to city and promoted the site. So very, very dope. You'll be glad you joined it. Two very special guests coming through this evening. Very excited. Christopher Kid Reed from Kid and Play. Super excited about him coming on tonight. Brings back nothing but good times and memories for myself. And I'm pretty sure many of you out there listening the same as well. How about you guys?
Huge fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't wait to talk to Kid and J Rabbit, man. Kid, super fond memories of house party, class act, the kick dance, how many niggas done bust their knees up trying to jump over one leg, all that good stuff, you know what I'm saying? So very excited.
Yes, 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 definitely. And then, like you said, for the beautiful music segment, we have the model called Jessica Murphy, who's actually the feature this week. And if you're interested on how to be featured for that, you can hit up Golden at The Glue on Twitter, and he can actually tell you about the process real quick, if you don't mind, homie.
Yeah, no doubt. Just hit me up. Like I said, we like to interview everybody in the entertainment industry, you know what I'm saying, music industry. That's what we deal with here on The Cut. And the models, the video vixens, they're just as much as part of the music industry than the artists. So we want to get to know them instead of just seeing them, get to know what they're about. You know, interviews that we've been having, some are in school, some are nurses, you know. So we're getting to know them on a personal level, getting to know their hobbies and how they view the industry, you know, from a female perspective. So it's a real dope segment. It's been going great. And, you know, The Cut is glad to have them.
Most definitely, most definitely. Well, again, be coming up with that a little bit later, but right now, straight into some music charts real quick. We got on the Hot 100, somebody that I used to know, Got Ye featuring Kimbra. Still haven't checked it out, you guys, but I promise at one point I will. You Got Fun featuring Janelle Monae, still killing the pop and the radio charts with We Are Young. We got the... It's the R&B hip-hop single, Usher, Climax. He's actually number one on R&B hip-hop single charts. We have on the number one R&B hip-hop album, Nicki Minaj. I think this is like week three for her, so shout out to Nicki Minaj. And the number one rap song in the nation is still The Model, but I'm going to tell you who's catching up right now. We got Love Rants with Up. He's at number two, or they're at number two, and we got Kirk Bangs with Drink In My Cup. So shout out to H-Town and the 254, because he's actually number three on the Billboard, so... Very nice, very nice.
Also, we have mixtapes. We touched on a couple mixtapes last week, such as Wiz Khalifa, Jadakiss, Ace Hood. Those mixtapes are still popular. I don't know if there were a lot of mixtapes dropping this week, but we do have Man, who's a young artist from L.A. He has Freshman on Varsity dropping. We also have Meek Mill with Dream Chasers 2. Now, I haven't really listened to Meek Mill as of yet, you know, not heavy like that, but I did hear of a lot of people on Twitter that were mentioning downloading his mixtape. Now, through the rumor mill, I read that quite a few websites that host mixtapes were actually shut down, not shut down, but they were they had some bandwidth issues because he got so many downloads. Now, I read that he actually had over 3 million downloads that were accounted for in under 24 hours. So I think
that's
I need
crazy.
To be 3 million and one so I can check him out. You know, obviously he has a huge fan base and people are checking for him, so I need to check him out too. What y'all think?
Yeah, you definitely need to hop on that.
Meek is definitely doing his thing right now. I heard about the bandwidth shutdown as well. Heard the mixtape. The joint is definitely riding. The brother definitely has a fan base huge out there right now. His momentum is crazy. Shout out Maybach Music Group and Meek Mill. He's been grounding for a while, and he's reaping the benefits right now. That brother's killing the game.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you on that one. Meek Mill is definitely a beast. Always has been. I haven't had a chance to check the mixtape out, but again, I've heard of all of the commotion and the pandemonium almost over it. So shout out to Meek Mill for making everybody shut down stuff. JD Game of the Week, we're going to cycle that back in a few weeks to come because we already have a winner. I just wanted to take a quick break because I want to go ahead and get right and get ready for the special guest, Christopher Kid Reed, again from Kid and Play. Super dope, super excited. Definitely somebody that we can all look up to, one of the pioneers I know for myself growing up. I actually have a track from one of his artists that we're going to play a little bit later. But right now, something that you should be familiar with if you're not already. Ain't gonna hurt nobody. Let's take it back.
Yeah.
Aw, yeah. Feels good. enjoy myself. I've left my problems up on the shelf. The workday's over and I got it made. Like Johnny Kemp said, I just got paid and I'm ready to mingle. Young man single and free, ready to get busy. Down to party hardy and have a good time. All I need is a partner in crime. Call up the homies and hope they might say they're down to paint the town red tonight. Look in the closet and pull out the hype gear. Hook up the high top fade and I'm out of here. To a disco or a party of some kind. Hope that I would find myself a good time. Before I'm through and the night is done, man, I'm gonna have fun.
Ain't gonna hurt nobody.
And your troubles at the door. Cause for sure you're gonna see a smile today. The problems of the world seem miles away. The only thing that matters is a good time that can be had with the help of a good rhyme. The DJ's hype more than up to par. Uh-oh, there goes a cutie at the bar. So I stroll on over and say hi and tell her I'm the P-L-A-Y and would she like to dance a while. I'll do anything to see you smile. You see, my job is to take you higher. After a couple of songs I'll inquire. Having fun? Well, I ain't done. The best is yet to come.
Ain't gonna hurt nobody.
Another notch in the belt, no secret, I like to freak with the best of them. Then head to the stage and a test of men. And when it's done and said and done,
play's gonna be the victorious one.
Yeah, dope, ain't it? Yeah, I know.
Give me that mic.
Oh, you want some of this?
Yo, it's my turn. I'm never fessing, possessing the tools that it takes to rock. I think it's time for the new kid on the block. With the style is wild, yet so unique. I can't be stopped from reaching my peak because giving my all at all. That's how I gotta live. It's my prerogative. So you know I gotta give more for the dance floor. And I'll make your brain sore. Kids revving and buzzing, just like a chainsaw. Well, look, you'll say, damn, man. That kid, he's a grand man. Cause I bust a handstand on American Bandstand. With these, I plead with ease and make your mind freeze. Straight out the 80s, right into the 90s. Giving you the highs and lows like a drama. And if the mic got juice, you know I'ma keep wailing. You know I'll have you staring a while. Because the kid's much more than hair and a smile. That is the hype shit.
Oh, I see. Think you all that now.
Yup. And then some.
Busted. It's my party and I'll rhyme if I want to. Be careful and don't you step to the front to kiss. Cause I'ma dismiss with a death kiss and make you sorry that you ever stepped in this microphone with it. So come on, place your bet. Is it gonna be me or erase the head? Put your money on a sorry old poor thing. Well, you can get behind a sure thing. And that's me, the capital P on the high tip. One false move and you'll get your ass whipped. Just tell me how the rhymes and the cuts down. You won't start feeling the pain till you touch ground. Boy, you're going way out. I'm ready to serve you. If you can stay, I'll pass your pop's curfew. Look at him, already a has-been. Let Uncle Play say a rhyme that'll tuck your ass in. Am I paid or what?
Some kind of vibe.
Something crazy.
Once again, the boy's blown smoke about what he wanna be. But it isn't, it wasn't, and it ain't never gonna be possible. Cause I got lots of pull. And when you rhyme, ooh, there's lots of bull. When it comes time to step to a mic, I don't sit around. Play, you know I don't kid around. So come with it, boy. Don't even hide your best. Cause kids spell backwards describes your best. Look around, watch the people clap hands in unity. As the momentum swings from you to me. You issue the challenge, yeah, you threw it up. Step to the stage, too late, I blew it up. The knowledge to build, just filled with excellence. You heard the rhymes, you've been petrol ever since. There's no missing the words that I laid out. You didn't play, you just got played out.
Oh yeah? Anything y'all could do, I also could do, but I could also do it better.
Appreciate you on the show, man. I'm ready to
listen to what you got to say, and
I'm gonna
get right to it, man.
Cool.
Bet,
so we're gonna get right into it, man, with the brother Christopher Ree, aka Kid. My man, first of all, we want to go back to the old school days, man. It's something that we love and we cherish. You chronicled a lot of our youths, and I just want to get back into how'd you even get started in music, man? How'd you get started in music? How'd you meet Play, and how did Kid and Play come to fruition?
Okay, well, I'm gonna try to give you like the Cliff Notes version of it, because it's kind of like War and Peace, but there's a lot of cool stuff around it, because the chemistry that Play and I dealt with and worked with all these years was a natural one, because we grew up around the corner from each other out in Queens, New York. And I think I always tell people, young people that's coming up, obviously you have to be talented to get to a certain level, to get to a high level. But I think, you know, timing and even a bit of luck comes into play as well. So we were fortunate enough to live around the corner from each other, but also in our neighborhood was super producer Herbie Lovebug, who created Salt and Pepper, Sweet Tea, Kwame, Dana Dane. So, you know, he was a contemporary of ours. And basically, after having put Salt and Pepper on back in the days, he wanted to put us on behind that, and he kind of groomed us and had us in their early videos and kind of set us up to maybe not be a male version of them, but, you know, just kind of be next in line in the camp that he was building. It was called Idol Makers. And that's basically what happened. I mean, and then just trying to, you know, be creative and be ourselves. I mean, you know, we wasn't gangsters. That wasn't the kind of music we were making. I mean, you know, we love that kind of music. We got people in that world, but that just wasn't our lane. So we kind of figured out our lane was, you know, being smooth with it. We kind of patterned ourselves after Houdini, to be honest. Like if Houdini could dance, then that's Kid and Play. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how we envisioned it. But and then just moving forward, I think just trying to be original with our imagery, the way we looked, obviously the hair, the clothes, the dancing. And I think when you do stuff like that and kind of set yourself apart, that's when other opportunities happen. Like, you know, dude rolling up on me talking about he wanted me to do a movie called House Party, and you know.
Right.
I was having an opportunity to do that, and then, you know, on and on and on. So,
well,
you know,
we're definitely going to get into that. And, you know, it's so many interesting points that you bring up. And, you know, we do have a lot of artists that listen to the show. So, you know, it's great that you're letting them know, you know, the talent and a little bit of luck. You know, timing is definitely key. I wanted to talk about Kid and Play because you guys bought a stage show to the stage that I think was very important. I mean, we look at artists these days, and you don't see too many people wanting to do choreographed stuff and, you know, make sure they're rocking that crowd the right way. Kid and Play always had a dope show, and you played off each other very well. Could you explain why you guys took onus in being great at that and how that propelled you guys to being stars?
Well, I think, first of all, it goes back to the stuff that we like growing up. And, you know, I mean, I'm obviously old school, but I'm into even older school. You know, like, I used to watch tapes of great dancers like the Nicholas Brothers and people like that. And you know, it was something that when we had an opportunity to get out there, you know, our people were like, yo, you got to set yourselves apart. I mean, you know, there was lots of groups coming out of New York at that time. It was very competitive. You know, how were we going to set ourselves apart? Part of it, obviously, was the look, but also part of it was the dancing. And, you know, not in the sense of getting a whole bunch of dancers, you know, to dance behind you, but actually participating and doing it yourself. And initially, we started out with four dancers. We had these chicks that danced for us. But moving forward, we were like, you know what, let's just do it ourselves. I mean, you know, we're young. We're in our early 20s. If, you know, if we can't, you know, dance and rap at that point, you know, what's the point? So it was something that we kind of prided ourselves on and found that, you know, from the outset, I mean, from, you know, developing the dance, the Kid and Play, it was something that people always responded to. And it's amazing. I mean, to this day, I mean, when Play and I do these, you know, these legends of hip-hop shows now, you know, we bust out through that kick step at the end, man, and you think it's 1988 all over again, you know what I'm saying? Everybody flashing back, you know what I'm saying?
Most
so I mean, it was just our thing, and I think it moves in eras. I think there's a time, you know, like when we were doing it, people were into it. Obviously, we were doing it. Fresh Prince and them was moving around. Obviously, Hammer and them guys was moving around. Things were a lot more colorful. Right. Then, you know, then the landscape changes. I do think that it's kind of morphed into, you know, that dancing element is there, but it's more like kind of on the club tip. You know, you got groups like
right.
LMFAO, those guys. They're doing the dancing to a really different level. I mean, you know, and me and you talked about this the other day about how the dancing has gone from the floor to the air. You know what I mean? From
air,
where I was,
right.
It was all on the floor. And now you look at them, you know, you look at America's Best Dance Crew. These dudes are flying. I mean, it's like
flying in
the
air, right?
Bug, you know what I'm saying? Right. So I do think that element has changed. Now, you know, hip hop is going to continue to evolve and move. And, you know, right now, you know, the dancing as show, you know, that aspect of it is not really big. But I do think that the rappers today are taking pride in their shows in terms of, you know, just having something at least visually or sonically for people to enjoy. Like if they ain't going to dance, well, let me do something else. Let me do some cool special effects. Let me get some cool video screens. Let me, you know what I mean? Let me do this or that. So I do think they realize.
You see a lot of them making the effort. You definitely do see a lot of them making the effort. And, you know, a lot of things that I think that they get from you guys, from, you know, all the old school artists that taught us things, you see it carrying over, like even the branding, which I wanted to talk to you about. I mean, you guys came out, you know, you had the high top fade, you know, Play had the flat top with the part in the middle, you know what I'm saying? It all came as far as, okay, I know that guy by this. Now, was that something, a conscious effort to make your hair like that, or was it just like, this is me, period, and you're going to know me for me, or did somebody say, you know what, you should keep your hair like this because this is going to brand you and set you apart from any other artist out here?
You know what, I wish I could say I was that smart that I had it all figured out and I was going to get this hairstyle and, you know, 20 years later, people would still ask me about it and it would become this iconic. I wish I could say, yes, I had it all planned out. But I didn't, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I think that's part of the reason why it worked. It was very organic. I mean, you know, at that time in New York and Philly, everybody was getting a fade. You know, fade was just real tight at the sides and a little bit up on top. And, you know, my gut, you know, after a few haircuts, I just, you know, I went to the barber and I would just tell him, you know what, don't cut the top. Just let it go. Just keep the sides. I just kept doing it. And I remember when it was real little, it was real little, but people were reacting to it. You know, people were reacting to it, like, you know, pointing and, you know, a lot of it, you know, honestly, most of it was negative. But, you know, people were, like, laughing and stuff because it was kind of new. But I kind of went with my gut. My gut was like, well, you know, everybody knows I'm here. You know, everybody knows we're here. So let my gut said, keep growing, let it grow. And, you know, before you knew it, it became, you know, something entirely different. To the point where, you know, it became identifiable, you know, with us, with me. And I do think it definitely gave us an advantage and it just gave us, you know, it was early branding, but, you know, obviously no one was talking that kind of stuff back then. We weren't even savvy. You know, we weren't as smart as Steve Stout is today, you know what I mean, to identify. Right.
Shout
out. The chatting in 1988. But,
no,
you know,
doubt,
thank
but,
goodness.
You know,
I mean, who knew? The thing. I was just saying that, look, it's amazing. Between the hair and the dance and all of that, you know, these are some pretty heavy things we came to be known for, but I think a lot of it was not that we were trying to, you know, we just thought it was cool. Like, I thought the hair looked cool like that, so I did it. We thought the dance looked cool. We did everything because we thought it was cool. Our friends thought it was cool. And that's where it starts. You know what I mean? It starts with you and your crew and you and your neighborhood. Y'all think it's cool. And you carry that swag out to the rest of the world, and you make the rest of the world think that it's cool. You know, even if they've never seen it before, never done it before, or the first time they thought it was stupid. I'm telling you, people used to laugh at me in the street with the high top before I became famous.
Right.
And then, you know, all of a sudden afterwards, it was the greatest thing since sliced bread. But, you know, I still remember when I was getting made fun of. But that's cool. That's all right.
Now, do you think that the artists these days have gotten away from that due to the fact that people are actually trying to groom them to be a certain way? like, even if they have their own style, somebody's like, no, you got to change that. You got to change that. That's not going to work. Do you think that that's something that's negative in the industry? Because how do you know what will work until you put it out there? And if it's organic, why change it?
Right. Well, I mean, I agree with you there. But you know what? The part of the of doing business or working in this industry is, you know, certain people will try to use what's happened previously, history, to try to predict what will happen next. Like, people were into this, so they should be into that. People were into this, so they should be into that. No one can tell. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what people will like. People love Beyonce, right? They love Beyonce, but they hate Solange. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't like her. You know what I mean? People love Brandy, but until, you know, recently, they hated Ray J. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't tell us what to like. We'll tell you. So I think in certain ways, dealing with artists, look, should you attempt to guide them? I mean, like I told you, I'm working with a 17-year-old right now. And the main thing with him is, you know, once I got to know the kid, you got to get to know your artist. You got to, you know, get inside their head a little bit, really hear what they're saying and how they're living. Let them be themselves. Let them express themselves naturally. Try to guide them. I mean, you're not going to let them make an out-and-out mistake. But you got to let people be themselves. I think those are the things that connect. I mean,
right.
And that's how it becomes bigger. You know, Wiz Khalifa, he's not just a guy making records. He's a movement. You know, ASAP Rocky. You know, whether you're crazy about the music or not, these guys have a movement, and that's, you know, that's heavy. You can't. And in these days and times when you got to give the music away, you ain't making money on the music no more. So you got to sell them something else. You got to sell them a T-shirt. You got to sell them a button. You got to sell them a hat. You got to sell them some swag, some merch. Right?
I hope that the artists that are listening, they're really paying attention to it, and they really understand that, you know, it's really about people right now. You know, buying into your movement, and basically putting yourself out there to see who's connecting with you, what you're saying, what you're doing. That's what they're looking for. And I wanted to get into that because that will bring me into how you got sought after to do movies. Now, like you mentioned, there's a whole bunch of groups coming out during that time in New York City.
Right.
What made somebody approach you and say, hey, you're the guy? Your group needs to head this house party movement. We want you guys. How did that happen?
Well, once again, it was born out of somebody noticing, you know, the way we were putting it down at that time. I think this was like 89, early 89. And there was a cat who was a video music director, music video director named Reggie Hudlin. And he would roll up on me in the clubs in New York and step to me and be like, yo, man, I want to direct y'all videos. We had a few videos out, and they were very distinctive, and, you know, we had our look and the whole nine. So he wanted to know if he could do some of our music videos. And he was cool and everything, but to be honest, we already had a guy that we worked with, and we were really clicking with him. But it really wasn't a need, but we always kind of stayed cordial. So one day the guy rolls up on me, and he ain't talking music videos no more. He's talking about a movie. And I'm like, all right, what you talking about? So he said, yo, I got this movie. It's called House Party, blah, blah, blah. I got the script. I want you to read it. So it was my job to read stuff, you know what I mean? Like back then, like when it was, you know, like, should we do this? Should we, hey, kid, read this. You know what I mean? You know, so it was, everybody had a job. My job was to read shit, you know what I'm saying? So kid, read this. So I read the script, and honestly, I felt like and we had read a couple of scripts prior to that. People had approached us with some bullshit, you know, this, that, and the third. But I read this one, and I was like, you know what? I said, it ain't 100% there, but it was like 75% there. And I felt like, you know, we could bring it the rest of the way, you know, with our flavor and our slang and, you know, our whatever, you know, whatever hip-hop credibility we were going to bring to the table. So I told Play and the same Herbie Lovebug, who was our manager at the time as well, I said, yo, I think we should do this. You know, once again, it was my gut. You know, I mean, I hadn't, you know, I wasn't nearly that experienced in that area. But, you know, I was an English major in college. So I know good literature when I read it. I know good words. I know a good script when I read it. And I knew this was good. And my gut says, y'all need to do this. And did we know it was going to turn into what it turned into? Of course not. You know, we were just geeked off the fact that we were going to do one movie. And even then, we still didn't believe we were going to do it until we landed in L.A. We were like, I thought, you know, back then it was like a fantasy. We were like, yeah, whatever. Plane tickets come, yeah, whatever. You know, we in the car to the airport, yeah, whatever. You know, take a flight, whatever. We land in L.A. God damn, we here.
Yeah, we done made it.
This
is happening. You know, watching the House Party movies, man, everybody, you know, there's such fans. It's such a classic movie. But one thing that stands out about it is that y'all are young guys in this movie and y'all acting was on point. It was like y'all belong in front of the camera. And this is goes from you to Plane to Martin Lawrence to
right.
Full Force.
Everybody was good. Yeah, everybody was
real good in those movies. Did y'all ever take any acting classes, or was this just natural talent that was just like, you know what, anything you put up against us, we're going to try to knock it out the best way possible?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I speak for Play and myself. I'm sure I speak for Martin, Full Force. I mean, none of us ever had any acting lessons or anything like that. But, look, we had the benefit of having a great director, Reggie Hudlin. Even though this is his first film, this was his baby. You know, this was his Harvard thesis, you know, that he had written, that he had developed into his screenplay. So he was very much into it, and he wrote a hell of a script. So first and foremost, you know, you got to have the words on the page. If the words ain't on the page, you know, even a good actor is going to have a hard time, you know, making it make sense or making somebody feel it. The words got to be there. There's
right.
no substitute for good writing in music, in literature, in screenplays. There's no substitute for it. So we had that good foundation. And then also, too, I think we may have been a victim, or not a victim, or I think we benefited from all of our inexperience. You know what I mean? None of us had
right.
really done a lot
right.
of acting before. You know what I'm saying? Hold on a second, bro. Hold on, bro.
All right.
Talking about
all right.
Bro. Hold on.
You know, the kid is so big that even when we do an interview, the brother's just knocking at the door like, hey, we don't care.
Hey, business is business.
We need to get kids. Let me knock on his door. I don't care about this interview, but it's all good. He's dropping some dope knowledge, man. I'm definitely excited about, you know, how this stuff happened for him, man. Hopefully everybody out there is just listening and, you know, taking it in, man. It's all about being yourself and putting your shit out there. You know what I'm saying? You never know what can happen. Look what happened to them.
Hello.
Sorry,
you got
nothing like live radio, huh?
You're right. But
Let me explain. That was actually the UPS man. That was the UPS man.
Oh,
you know, so y'all know.
The UPS. You remember when people used to diss you by saying "nigga, please, you work for UPS." Anybody else remember that?
Yo, let me tell you something. UPS is a good job if you ain't got a whole lot
yeah.
of skills. You know what
I'm was that just a New York thing? Did
oh, yeah.
somebody started that and everybody used to start saying that to like diss people? That was Bismarck,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
right? And then my cousin
yeah,
worked
yeah.
for UPS, and one day somebody said in that house, and he was like, "I don't know what the hell you're talking about. UPS is a good ass job."
See, UPS, they was getting paid with by the UPS. But anyway, yeah, somebody they just brought some. It looked like a box of sneakers.
Okay, that's what's up.
Membership
is still getting
for all, for all the artists out there. Membership has its privileges.
That's dope. That's definitely dope.
All right, wait. I'm sorry.
We're talking about House Party, man, and how you go all, you know, gained, had the pleasure of working along each other, just inexperienced, but putting y'all all into it.
Right, but this is the thing. So I think we benefited from our inexperience because we didn't have a lot of previous acting experience, so there wasn't a lot in our head. So, I think Reggie, as a director, kind of went with all our natural instincts and guided us, and we didn't have a, you know, we weren't thinking too much is what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, and a lot of the characters were, you know, I mean, you know, it wasn't that big a stretch for Play and myself. But everybody, you know, like I said, people fed off each other. You know, obviously, Tisha Campbell was a trained actress. AJ Johnson, great actress. You know, the late, great Robin Harris. I mean, you know, when I look back, I feel very fortunate that we had an opportunity to every time we went out there in a house party or a class act, any movie we were in, we always had good people alongside of us. You know, there's no way you know, we end up getting most of the credit for the house party movies, but you know, it's we were part of a great team and fortunate to be
right.
part of that.
So let's talk about that a little bit, man. You know, the kick step dance, the jumping over the leg, all of that different stuff, the classic battle scenes, the classic dance battles, and you know, the movies just transcended, man. And I was just looking at them, you know, the other day, man. I got the movies on DVD, and we were talking right. about it the other day too, how, you know, you guys actually put very famous people in their first movie. Like, that was, you said, Bernie Mac and Chris Tucker's first movie was House Party 3.
Yeah. That's right. House Party 3. Yeah, House Party 3 was Bernie Mac and Chris Tucker's first movie.
Immature was in that joint, too.
TLC was in that movie as well. Obviously, you know, it wasn't Robin Harris' first movie, but first, you know, starring role.
Right.
Queen Latifah's in House Party 2. You know, Martin, obviously, in House Party 1 and 2. Full Force in all three. You know, Tisha did a couple with us. Matter of fact, Tisha did all three. She did 1 and 2 and then gave us a cameo in 3. So, you know, we
and she was
kind of became a bit of a family. Yeah, I mean, and,
right.
you know, she's just awesome to work with. I mean, she, you know, back then, you know, I can just recall that, you know, she was, you know, a great deal more experienced than I was as an actor at that time. I mean, she was an accomplished movie and television actress. And, you know, she was very patient with me and just, you know, knew I was a rookie at that and was, you know, extremely patient. And, I look at the, you know, the scenes and the work we did together, and it's, you know, I'm proud of it. You know, I feel lucky to have been working with her, you know. But then it's funny, but, you know, people don't never want to know about that. They always want to know, Did you hit it?
You know what? I was
the class
that.
Did you hit it? They always want to know,
that's a married woman,
that.
Right?
Did you hit it?
That's a married woman right there. We're not going to even go there. You know what I'm saying? I may have been thinking it, but I wasn't going to say it. Did you know what I'm saying?
And I was like this. I would never jeopardize the thespian bond that links us as actors. I would never do that. And besides, there were plenty of extras that I could bone, that I could solve and satisfy my carnal needs.
Yo, I can't front, though. I still remember that scene when
that
you finally made it up to her bedroom.
For.
And she took down those pants. And I still remember that. And you were like, damn, I don't know whether to jump out this window or back in this bed.
I know, right?
I love those movies, dog. Let me just tell you, I love those movies. Those movies are shit, dog.
Well, you know what? It's fortunate. Like I said, I feel really fortunate because, you know, they show them a lot, you know what I mean, to this day. And honestly, they hold up. I mean, they hold up.
They do.
Which is great because not every movie holds up. I mean, I can look at some of those, like, some of them white boy movies from the 80s and stuff. You know what I mean? Some of them joints hold up, but some of them don't. You know, and I'd like to think that not just the House Party movie. House Party holds up. Boys in the Hood holds up. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, Friday holds up. You know, even something like Crush Group holds up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
These joints hold up. Maybe I'm biased because, you know, it's my world and it's
well,
you know,
no,
the stuff
they,
I really care about. But
they hold up and they span, you know, barriers. And, you know, I actually, you know, that story that you told me about Chris Tucker, I thought was interesting, and I wanted you to tell the audience how you basically, you know, was seeing him on the comedy circuit, and, you know, tell them a little bit about that. The guy came to you and was like, yeah, we got this part that we still didn't fill, and you was like, I know it would be perfect for this.
Right. Well, you know, we're in Los Angeles right now. We'd actually started shooting the third House Party, and one of the things what we were trying to do was I was working very closely with a director, a guy named Eric Meza, who was kind enough to you know, teach me a lot about, you know, directors and what they do and allow me to be helpful. So, you know, we had a lot of little parts that we had to cast. I mean, we were trying to fill them with some talented people. And, you know, we weren't scared of new people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And there's one particular character, his name was Johnny Booze. I guess he managed one of the strippers that was supposed to come to the party. We still hadn't cast it. And the director hit me and was like, yo, don't forget, we haven't cast that. I'm like, I know, I got my eyes open. went to the Comedy Store that night, the Comedy Store in Hollywood, you know, famous comedy club that, you know, all the greats have played at. And, you know, Chris had been in town for maybe a few months. You know, I'd seen him around town. I thought the guy was really funny. And I saw his set that night, and it just kind of clicked. And I was like, well, I you know, Chris could do this. I mean, it's, you know, it wasn't a big part, but it, right. it was a chance for somebody to get loose. So, I hit him all up right. afterwards, and Chris was always funny, man. I was like, yo, Chris, what's going on? He's like, hey, kid, what's going on, man? What your rich ass doing, man? What's going on, you know? You know, he'd always say something like that, right? And I was like, look, we got this thing, man. Are you interested? You know, you'd have to go in tomorrow morning. He's like, oh, man, I got that, man. Let me get that, man. Same time. So he went. He went the next morning, shot that scene, and he was awesome. You know, he stole that scene, and you know, he's got, you know, I, you know, you told me you quote from that scene yourself. So I mean, you know,
yeah, that's my
and honestly, I would never. Yeah, I mean, I just think that was the first time people got a chance to see him on film. Obviously, it wouldn't be the last. And you know,
right.
he went from there. He went onward and upward, and became, you know, the star that he was always supposed to be.
Well,
but a lot of times that's how it starts.
That, man. Kudos to you for that, because I think that's
right.
big, especially, you know, in the African American community. If, you know, when people have opportunities and they could pull people in, you never know what can happen to their lives just by helping somebody. You know what I'm saying? And,
well,
in some industries, people, I think they've gotten away from that. You know.
Well, this is the key, though, and I think I mentioned this when me and you talked last week, because we talked about this as related to Martin, too. Look, when it gets to that level, I'm not hooking up anybody that can't do the job. You know, I'm not bringing Chris in there if I don't think he can do it. I mean, he has to be able to do it. That's the threshold. I mean, hooking people up is
right.
all fine and well, but if I hook you up for something that you ain't qualified for, we both going to get fucked up. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
You going to get fucked up, and
Indeed.
I'm going to get fucked up. So, you know, let's keep them getting fucked up to a minimum. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, dude was qualified, and you know, one of the great things about Chris is, you know, he never forgot that. You know, I ran into him with his dad one time, man, and he was like, "Hey, man, me kid, man, he put me in my first movie, man, blah 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 blah." And it ain't no big deal, but it's just like, yo, you know. Talk about, you know, taking an opportunity and just running with it. I mean, that's what
right.
you're supposed to do. And so when I see him do his thing, I'm just like, I don't sit up here and feel like I'm personally responsible, but I just feel like, hey, man, you know, I knew this guy was something else, man. I mean, there's a
right.
few people you come across in this game, and you're just like, I know this guy can win. I felt the same way about Martin back in the day. I was like, yo, if this guy gets a shot, he's got it. You know what I mean? You always know when somebody got it.
Right.
So you know,
right.
I'm thankful that, you know, I've run across a few people like that in show business and music and acting and whatnot. So you know, and I hope,
well,
you know, I hope it continues.
You know,
I mean,
we want to say kudos to you for that, because you know it, you're right. They got to be qualified, but you know, just having the opportunity, just getting a chance, you know what I'm saying, is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of rappers, producers. Different people that listen to the show that we talk to all the time, you know, they always have the stories of how, you know, their city is not helping them, this and that. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
We just want to give them the, positive stories as well. Like, there's somebody out there that'll help. You know, just keep putting yourself out there. You never know what can happen. Just be prepared, you know. But we don't want to reminisce on the past for too long, you know, but we definitely want to get that insight, because it was so much a part of all of our lives. But we know you got a
right.
lot of great stuff going on right now, man, from voiceovers to, you know, I'm a huge Bill Maher fan. You actually did the theme
right.
song for Real
right.
Time with Bill Maher. And also
right.
just a lot of great stand-up comedy work, man. What made you want to jump
right.
on the stage and actually do stand-up?
Well, you know, once again, it kind of goes back to just having a feeling. Kind of a gut feeling that at the time you don't really have a lot of information or evidence to support it, but your gut is just saying you need to do this, you need to try it, you need to do this. To get to the comedy, I was doing some hosting. I was hosting different television shows in the late 90s. I was hosting a TV show, a syndicated show called Your Big Break. Matter of fact, I did it with Dick Clark, that just passed away. It was kind of a karaoke show. People would get up there and sing and whatnot. So
right.
I did this show. I had a great time doing the show. But at the end of the first season, I got fired. They fired me. They fired me and replaced me with Alfonso Ribeiro, which was quite a blow to my ego. But, you know, I had to get over that. So I was kind of at a bit of a crossroads, and I was thinking to myself, I was like, well, you know, I feel like I want to do something new. I feel like I need a new challenge, and I feel like, you know, I'm not as sharp as I could be. So two really good friends of mine, Bill Maher and Tommy Davidson, people know Tommy Davidson from In Living Color, were the two main proponents that urged me to get into stand-up comedy. And up to the point where years ago Bill brought me onto the Oprah Winfrey Show and told everybody that, you know, how funny he thought I was and, you know, this, that, and the third. So, I mean, when you have people that heavy that believe in you, you know, you at least have to give it a try. So I did. And, you know, it was one of the best decisions that I ever made. It got me back on stage. You know, what I found out that was I was a lot more prepared to be a stand-up comedian than I thought I was, simply because I'd been a rapper. You know, being a rapper, right, and being a stand-up comedian are very similar. You know, the movements on stage, very similar. A lot of times the difference is the dialogue, is what's coming out of your mouth. It's not musical. It's comical. You know what I mean?
Right.
So the thing, I didn't have to worry about, you know, half the thing of a comedian is feeling comfortable on stage. Well, I didn't have that problem. So my only problem was just making sure whatever was coming out of my mouth was going to be funny or clever or both or just interesting. And that's what, you know, that's what my, you know, that's kind of what my mission was. And that was 2000. So I'm 12 years in now, and it's, you know, it's one of the main things that I do now, and it's something that I love. And like I said, it got me back on stage and keeps me sharp for everything else that I do,
yeah,
in the entertainment world. So you know, I'm appreciative of it. And then
not to cut you off, I'm sorry about that. But every time you talk to somebody that is on stage again, whether it's comedy, plays, know, keeping the timing sharp is always, you know, keeps me sharp and keeps me, you know, in tune. And, you know, as you could, I saw, you know, you do comedy, you're definitely in tune, definitely sharp, definitely funny. And, you know, it looks like you feel good up there. It looks like you're like, yeah, this is where I belong. I belong on stage.
Right.
And I guess it's just a gift that, you know, certain people have and possess. And it just translated from music to comedy, you know, effortlessly for you. But also voiceover work, different things like that, you know.
Yeah.
One thing I want to get to the artists out there, and then we're going to bring the host and the co-host back in to ask you their questions. But one thing I wanted to, you know, you to explain to the artists is how they should also explore their other talents. You know, a lot of them may be rappers, but they may have talents in other things that they're afraid to put out there. What would you say to the artists?
All right, listen to this. I'm gonna tell you this story. The audience should listen to this story very closely. This actually happened. This was maybe seven years ago. I thought to myself, I was like, years ago I had done a little bit of voiceover stuff, but not a whole lot. And maybe about 7 years ago, I was determined. I watch a lot of television and I listen to all voiceovers and different things that people do. And I said to myself, I said, I know that I can do this. You know, why am I not doing this? So I just took it on myself. I just got on the computer and started researching voiceover agents. And I flipped through, and I ran up on one that looked pretty cool. It had a bunch of, like, celebrities on it, like these guys were on their roster. So I just went in there. I picked out an agent. You know, I don't know, somebody's name sounded, you know, friendly or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just picked out some agent's name, and I emailed the guy. I told him who I was and told him of my interest to get back into the voiceover game, having dabbled in it a little bit, you know, years before. And at the time, I was doing a morning radio in Los Angeles. I was doing morning radio with Yo-Yo. Remember Yo-Yo, old school Yo-Yo. So I told him, I said, hey, man, listen to me on the radio. If you feel like, I have what it takes or you'd like to have a meeting, just hit me up, blah, blah, blah. So he hits me up right away. He says, hey, man, I know who you are, blah, blah, blah. I heard you on the radio. Come in and have a meeting and blah, 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 please. So I went in there a couple of days later, and I met all the staff, and you know, they signed me up right then and there. So, and that was probably like within a week. But if I don't, if I'm not, and I've been doing it ever since. You know, I've, and each year it's increased more and more, to the point where, you know, I do a variety of different things. Matter of fact, before I forget, this, I got this video game that I did for the people out there, your audience that are gamers. I did this this game called Spec Ops. Spec Ops: The Line. It's like one of those war movies. I'm one of those. Mm-hmm. I'm one of the main soldiers in it. It comes out June 26th. It's a 2K game, so everybody should check that out. But anyway, so my point is, if I wasn't proactive about it, and I'm me, you know what I'm saying? I'm kid from Kid and Play, right?
Right.
And I still
right.
got to be proactive. You feel me? So,
right.
And but once again, it was something that I had in my head. You know, look, back in the days, I had in my head, I can be a musician, I can be a rapper. Then you got to figure out a way to do it. I can be an actor. Okay, now you got to figure out a way to do it. I can be a stand-up comedian. All right, well, now you got to figure out a way to do it. Well, I should be doing voiceovers, making all that money. Well, let's figure out a way to do it. So every time I analyzed and identified something that I wanted to do, the next thing was, all right, well, how are you going to do it? And then do it. And then get up and do it. And then it's adds on to now, all right, instead of two things, I do three things, I do four things. I do like seven, eight different things now to be creative and to make money. And I do that, and I'm me.
Right. So, artists, listen.
And I'm me. I feel like Lil Wayne.
Very important. You know what I'm saying? Get on it.
I feel like Wayne.
Have it in your
and
mind.
I'm me.
Yeah, but it's important, man. You're right, man. If they think they can do it and you have it in your mind, to hell with what people are talking about, do it.
Yeah.
If it's something you want to do.
Yeah, I thought that I could put a suit on and be a host, like, you know, on television, host TV show, like Ryan Seacrest. Yeah, and I did it. You can do it, but, you know, look, I'll get old school for a minute and be like, look, obviously you got to be talented. You do need that luck and timing. We talked about that. But you got to put the work in. You know, there's work involved in this. You know, there is work. You know, it ain't the kind of work that everybody else got to do in relation, you know, to their job or their endeavors. But there is work involved. You know, it's expanding your mind. It's reading. It's learning about new stuff. It's practicing your craft at all times. It's identifying who your peers are and the pioneers are, and studying the greats and leaving the bullshit behind. And not being lazy. You know what I'm saying? That's what's up.
You gotta definitely be proactive, man. I mean, you're listening. You know, and I'm so glad that everybody's listening to a legend saying, hey. Be proactive. Get up, get at it, but study it, strategize. And we always talk about that here on The Cut, you know what I'm saying? We always try to give
right.
nuggets, advice, gems, you know what I'm saying, on, you know, how we could best help the situation. And it's not like anybody's experts at anything, but, you know, somebody may have been through something that somebody else hasn't. So you know from experience what you may need to do. And you being the legend that you are and dabbling in seven or eight things, you can shed some insight on that, and we're certainly glad that you did. I want to bring Onyx and Tyrone back into the fold.
Onyx!
You know what I'm saying? Any questions, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Y'all on the line?
Yeah, we here.
What's up, Onyx?
You set me out.
That's your song, right? Is that your favorite? That's your favorite song?
Nah, it's fine.
Onyx. All Onyx like is Onyx songs. That's all she got on her iPod. Nah, what's up? How you doing, Onyx? What's good?
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and go first real quick, and wanted to stay like from the House Party films, like all three of them were completely, you know, damn near completely different. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to kind of get, like, what, as far as direction of the films, you know, because I read up mm-hmm. on them a while back, and just looking at them and seeing how they were completely different. What was the,
mm-hmm.
what was it like doing each of them? How did you guys feel when you were actually on set doing them? Did you want them to be just like the first one, or did you kind of go with the flow, or how'd that go?
Well, I think there's several things to consider when you're talking about like a trilogy or a series of movies. You know, we had these three. Obviously, the first one is the kind of the benchmark, you know, where we first kind of made our mark and what set the tone. each one of the three movies had a different director. So each one from the outset is going to have kind of a different vision, because there is different directors usually have different ways of looking at things and going about things and what they want to accomplish during the film. Now also, you know, Kid and Play are getting older, and then that has to kind of factor into the story. You know, about first one I was in high school, the second one I was in college, the third one I'm getting married. So that kind of has to move along as well, and that'll kind of dictate, you know, where your story is going to go. Do you keep some of the characters? Do you keep some? You let some others go and bring some new ones on, which is kind of, you know, which is kind of what we did. And, you know, I always felt that through each one we were where we were supposed to be. There might have been some, you know, things I weren't crazy about here or there. But, I mean, the overall tone of them, I mean, all three are known for, like, different reasons. I mean, the first is known because it's the first. You know, the second is known because it's the pajama jammy jam kind of deal. You know, the third was known for, you know, I Got Married, and, you know, it debuts, you know, great people like Bernie Mac and Chris Tucker. And it was kind of the rawest of the three. The third one was, compared to the first two, was actually kind of raw, almost kind of death jammy kind of deal, which I think worked at the time. It was the right time for that. So, right. You know, I'm very happy with the journey of those three, and that's probably why when offered to do House Party 4, you know, Play and I politely declined. I think we thought, hey, you know what, we're with that franchise, you know, we're cool with that. You know what I mean? Our work is done with that. They went on and made House Party 4, but like I said, that was a ship we chose not to sail on.
Okay, because I actually part three, I actually went to the theater mm-hmm. to see it. I was in Germany at the time, and I believe I was okay. only about 8 or 9 years old. So, you know, it. I remember going, and I remember how packed the theater was. You know, and mm-hmm. like I said, I was over there on a military base, but it was so many people in there. And mm-hmm. I don't remember how I got in. I don't remember if I went with my parents or what, but I kind of feel like my mother did when I was younger, and how she used to talk about the old music and how, mm-hmm. you know, as we were growing up and we were listening to rap music and how, you know, they thought it was trash, you know, not necessarily
yep.
yours, but when the gangster rap came
right.
in and all that type of stuff.
Sure.
Okay. I feel like that now, being 28 years old. I mean, I'm not that old, but I still feel like I miss you guys, you know, and I'm glad that,
mm-hmm.
like I said, I check out the movies all the time, and I always end up watching the first one and then watching them in order that way, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the music today, being that it's been, damn, shit, like 22 years, like already?
Right. Yeah.
You know
the beautiful thing is I came into the business loving hip hop, you know what I mean. I loved it so much when I started that we was doing it for free. You know what I mean. Hardly anybody does
right.
it for free anymore. I mean, and if that's great because you don't have to, you know, because you know it's a $1 billion business. But I mean, I remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember when there was no hip hop. You know what I mean. So I certainly
okay.
appreciate it. So I say that to say that I believe in hip hop. I believe in the culture, the music, the language, you know, and I believe in hip-hop as a unifying force. I believe in hip-hop as bringing races together, bringing different age groups and, you know, people that wouldn't ordinarily get together, you know, get together through hip-hop now. So I believe in it, and I believe in the music. I'm into the young guys. I mean, you know, some I like better than others, but, I mean, you know, I think that what they're doing lyrically, you know, maybe sometimes people complain that sometimes the young guys, you know, lack the substance. You know, like we're not hearing a Chuck D. But I mean, you know, there are rappers. There are conscious rappers out there. I mean, you know, cats like Mos Def and them still get down, and Quali and them get down. But you know, look, I have my guilty pleasures. I just copped Meek Mill's Dream Chasers 2. You know, I've been jamming that like the last 2 days, man. You know, when the funny part is when you're like kids from Kid and Play. You know, obviously that's not the music, you know, that we did or we were known for or we could do. So, you know, it's kind of fun, you know, at home you can kind of live it out, you know what I mean? You know, I could be a gangster in my bathroom,
right.
you know, kind of deal. You know?
Right.
So it's kind of fun, you know what I'm saying? White girls,
well,
go wild.
Well, I do think that the,
oh, wait,
you know,
and also,
though,
too, wait, and also, too, you know, I got a rep, you know, I always got a rep for Meek Mill because he did that really cool House Party record. So, And he wore a Kid and Play a shirt in the video. So that was pretty cool.
He did. Right.
So I like the young guys. I love Kanye. I went to see Watch the Throne out here in LA. You know, when my homeboys come out here, you know, I mess with the young guys down south. I mess with the young jocks. You know, I like the young cats. And you know what? They always show respect and they always show love. And, you know, if it's just me or me and Player together, and you know some of the young cats roll up on us, they always show respect, and it's, you know, it's very humbling. So, you know, I would say this. I mean, look, hip hop is always going to, you know, will be in good hands. The cream will always rise to the top. So, you know, I enjoy a lot of the new artists today. I try to stay current. Okay. You know what I mean? I try to stay current because, and I have kids too. So you know, I think it's helpful. You know, if there's no excuse for me not to know what my kids are listening to. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, I got one more comment, and I'm gonna pass it over to Onyx.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned that the subject matter of your music wasn't necessarily, you know, gangster rap. You know, it was
mm-hmm.
more about having fun and things of that nature. But I think that even with the films, like, they were put together in a way that I believe that everybody was able to relate to them on both sides of the fence, you know, where they they were fun movies. And, you know, like I said, even to this day, you and Fleece were mentioning that they still hold up today. They kind of, you know, they touch both sides. So I always thought that was great.
Oh, yeah. No, and I agree. Thank you for saying that. And I agree with that. I agree. Look, you know, even gangsters can't be, you know, gangsters 24/7. You know what I'm saying? Gangsters listen to slow jams and gangsters like to laugh.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, I mean,
right.
I'll tell you a funny story. Years ago, we got approached. This was like 89. And we got approached to go out on tour with Eazy-E and N.W.A. And when they first brought that, you know, to my attention, I was like, are you crazy? I said, Kid and Play and N.W.A.? I said, that shit don't match. I mean, that's two different audiences. I mean, what the hell is going on? Blah, blah, blah. And I basically got outvoted, and we ended up doing that tour. And what I, you know, being a New York hip-hop snob, you know what I'm saying, I didn't realize that, you know, it's the same damn audience. You know, sometimes they want to hear Fuck the Police, and sometimes they want to hear some Ola, Ola, A. So, you know, you learn that the audiences are diverse, and you know, if you find the right way to bring your point across, you know, either through a film or a television show or music, you know, a lot of people will gravitate toward it, man. So I feel fortunate. You know, I did my job, but the great news is everybody else did theirs, and then, you know, years later you got something that people still want to see, and you know, it's kind of humbling, to be honest with you.
Right. Well, once again, I appreciate you coming on the show. We both
take it.
All right, Onyx.
Yeah. Onyx. I just want to say, I don't even know what to say. I'm being honest with you. When I found out you were coming on the show, I was super excited and kind of nervous because it's like I told you, I just saw you on TV1, and I was sitting with my mom, actually, and I was like,
right, what did you think of that? I thought it was great. You talking about life after?
Yes, I'm talking about life after. I thought it was great. I didn't know that you were doing all of what you were doing. One thing about you is you've been consistent since we first saw you on the screen, and House Party, everybody knows, is one of my favorite movies of all time. And even my brother, he's actually got a couple of gangsters in my family, and they're all, we used to do
right,
the dance.
But it's a fun movie.
Like,
right, but they got something in there for them.
Great.
The gangsters like Full Force, you know, the gangsters like Robin Harris. You know, they're something in it for the gangsters, you know what I'm saying?
But no, the movie was great, and like and I know we keep talking about it, but it's just that, you know, it's made that impact on us all growing up, 80s babies, rather. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, like I said, you were in Sister, and that was one of my favorite shows growing up.
Oh.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. And
that's right. That's right. Those are my homegirls. Those are my homegirls, T and Tamara, right?
Yeah.
And they had their little brother, too. Their little brother.
Smart
TJ, he had a show called Smart Guy. Yeah, I did Smart Guy, too.
Yeah.
I did all them shows back then. Let me tell you, bro, you know, this is another thing, dude. You got brothers going to work. You got to work, maybe. But no, Sister was a lot of fun. A lot of fun. We did. I did several of those over a couple of years. And, you know, it was just, it was a pleasure. You know, they were great to work with. I was cool with their parents. You know, their little brother was on the set. And that whole set, that whole atmosphere was, like, a lot of fun. And, you know, and then people like them. And that's why, you know, they're still doing their thing to this day. I run into them every now and again. And they, you know, they look great. They were, you know, they're classy. That was a great little show to work on. For sure.
Yeah, it's amazing to me when we hear you and we think back to all these movies and all these people that you work with. You pretty much work with almost everybody in the industry, and I just think it's amazing and it's an honor that you're talking with us tonight and giving us a little insight, about what you got going on. So no, we're really, really appreciative of it. I know I am very much so. And
Well, let me tell you, I'll say this. Well, you know what? Like I said, I mean, it's years later now that, you know, we're 20 years plus into this thing, or I'm 20 years plus into this thing. Like I said, sometimes, you think you'd look back and, you know, you'd, like, puff your chest out and be like, man, look at this. Look at all these things I did. Look at all these people I work with. But, to be honest, the other thing happens. You know, like I said, you feel kind of humble. You're just like, wow, like. You know, like, man, did I, you know, did we do that? Did I do that? And then, you know, and then you still see, like, the key right now is, I think, to always, if you view this as a career, then you always have to be kind of ready to figure out what the next thing is, to evolve, find out what you're going to be next, what you're going to do next. Because, you know, the hip-hop entertainment kind of world is a very fluid kind of thing. You can't do the same thing you did when you first got in the game. You can't do that forever, and you can't just merely do one thing. So, I mean, so today's artist has to be kind of multi-talented and try to give yourself as many different avenues and opportunities as you can. And I think that's what leads to longevity. One of the reasons why I'm still around on any level is that you gotta diversify. You know, like Wu-Tang, you gotta diversify your portfolio, nigga.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, and like I said, and like Golden said, we talk about a lot of the things that you're talking about on the show. So to hear you say it and for it to come from you and you have the experience that you have in the industry is just, like I said, huge plus to us. And we're just, honored and appreciative of it. And, and I don't just have Onyx on my iPod, by the way. I have all kind of music on my iPod. But, hey.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Hey, I got a new Onyx.
And I have his music, and we're actually going to play it at the end of the show and next week. We're going to get it rolling. So.
Oh, word? Oh, nice.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. So, but thank you very much.
Awesome.
I know we don't want to take too much more of your time, but I really appreciate it. And thank you so much.
Oh, no, it's all good. Where'd everybody else go? Where?
They're still there.
But, everybody wanted to talk to you, man. Like I said,
wow.
You
guys are so, you guys are so orderly. You're so orderly.
Oh, man, we try to keep order around the cut, man. You know what I'm saying? We want to make this a longevity thing too. You know what I'm saying? We don't want them motherfuckers always talking over each other and crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like
when I
watch the View, I be watching the View sometimes.
Oh,
and
my God!
The ladies be talking over each other all the time,
oh,
and I'm like,
God,
how do they even know what they're saying? Like, they're all talking over each other, you know? So we got to make a conscious effort to try to make it fluid as we can, you know what I'm saying? So,
yo, if there was a black woman version of The View, they should call it The Aunts. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Because it reminds me, like, like three, four of your aunts sitting around talking over each other and talking shit, you know what I'm saying?
You're very funny.
Yeah.
You're just like naturally funny. It's just crazy to me. I mean, I didn't know you were this funny. You're just a trip.
Nah, man. Yeah. Well, we so happy that you came through, man. It was a blessing and a pleasure hanging out with you the other week, man. We kicked it all day, and
we had a good time, right? We had a good time. Right. Yeah, hey, did your boy get on that big booty Spanish girl?
Oh, man, that's another show right there, man. That's another show.
Of course.
Let's put it like this. You know, when we walked out to the car, they was in the car next to us. So, you know what I'm saying? He even made that strong in push, you know what I'm saying, to make
that
happen.
Oh, good.
But, I haven't even spoke to him about it. You know what I'm saying? That's something he just reminded me of. So we'll see what's up. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
Time you step foot in the old man, we're going to definitely link up again. We got a lot of things to do. We're going to be plugging Elijah's music, making sure everybody.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what do you think?
You know
what do you think of my guy? What do you think of my you? Did you play for Onyx? Onyx, did you hear Elijah?
I haven't heard it yet.
Okay, you
got
to play. Yeah,
she has to hear it.
Yeah.
You'll like him. He's 17, he's fire. He's fire.
Nice.
Yeah, and you know, I told you what I think, but you know, I want you to get honest. Honest, definitely not a yes woman. You know what I'm saying? She like me.
No, we don't.
You know what I mean? Let you know. So, and you know, we kind of think, you know, same in terms of music sometimes. So I know she's probably gonna be like, yo, this kid is dope. You know what I'm saying? But
right.
Definitely gonna all listen to it, Tyrone as well, and you know, plug his music. So anything new, anything he got coming up, and we're gonna have to have him on the show soon as well.
Right. And also too, I wanna make sure, you know, we shout out the Global 14, you know what I'm saying? Because I just got down, and you know, people are starting to hit me up on it. So you know what I'm saying? Please do hit me up, you know, and we'll holler back, man, and keep all the lines of communications going, man. I like what y'all doing with that. Hey, I was listening to that Bobby Brown joint today. You had that Bobby Brown joint,
yeah,
up, right?
They posted the Bobby Brown, a new one up. I didn't know he was working on anything, so that kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about that today.
That was the Don't Let Me Die joint, yeah. Shout out to Corey.
Yeah.
Corey stay posting, you know, shit early. He be on it. You know
yeah, he do. He be trying to beat me.
Yeah. He did a flex on you. Did he flex on you? You got it in your mailbox?
Exclusive on him. But, like I said,
anytime y'all need to holler at me about anything, you know what I'm saying? Just, you know what I mean? Bring, you know, anytime y'all want to holler about anything, you know, that's what we're here for. But just know that, you know, anytime you see me out here doing my thing in any capacity, if it's acting, if it's comedy, voiceover, whatnot, you know, it's always hip hop. I'm always going to bring a level of hip hop into it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and even when you look at cats, you know, to this day, cats like LL and Latifah and Ice-T and, you know what I mean? Everything they do, you know, Ice-T could be selling a goddamn, you know, juice machine or some shit.
Yeah.
But it's going to be hip-hop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Indeed.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to be hip-hop.
He do.
You know what I'm saying? And,
yeah,
we appreciate that, too. So, you know, just know, you know, all the people that truly love hip-hop out there, remember, you know, you're representing it. You know what I mean? From day one all the way out. You know, no matter what you do, you may not always be a rapper or a musician or a producer. You know, you got to evolve and regenerate. But, you know, just rep hip-hop the whole time. Everything will be cool. All
right,
man, look at
right.
The Knicks
right.
are about to get their ass whooped.
Yo, go
they
ahead
need
and
me.
Get your, go try your new shoes on. I know you just got like 12 pairs, you know what I'm saying?
I got new shoes. Yo, I'll let me just move on, all right?
Be good, my brother.
Don't forget
my
contact
love,
information, too, though, bro.
All right, let's
put
out real quick, kid.
Huh?
Shout your Twitter out real quick.
Is he still with me?
He done dipped.
Putting on the new shoes. We'll put him. It's actually his Twitter is Kid from Kid and Play. It's KIDFROMKID, the letter N, PLAY.
Yes,
so,
and he is super fun and super cool and acts like a kid. So it's just. It's just, but not, you know what I mean, childish, immature kid, but just, you know, fun and, you know, full of life. And I just,
real
I don't
fun
just
dude.
Very,
real
very
fun, dude.
Fun. Exactly. Pep me up for the evening. I'm so happy. So excited that he had this opportunity to come on the show. Very, very nice guy. Learned a lot as well. Don't you guys still, when you hear somebody like, kid talk about the industry, and then you match it up with the things that we've been trying to give the artist advice on and the things that we've been talking about on the panels, doesn't it make you feel like, okay, yes, I'm on the right path, I knew this was what was going on, I know this is what's working,
right.
You know, you feel like you're staying in the loop of it all, because, you know, even though we're not at the level that he's at, just to hear him say it, it just, you know, everybody that we have on the show, I think they say the same things we say about wearing the different hats and stuff like that. So I just think it's dope that he came through and dropped that knowledge, and we're able to, you know, basically he's like the supporting fact. You know what I mean? So I like when the artists come through and, you know, just give their tidbit on it. So,
well, from my standpoint, I actually think that, you know, I was more so listening, trying to gather as much information as I could, you know, knowing that
we didn't have
much time. And, you know, throughout the whole time I've been doing business in the entertainment industry, I've met a whole lot of people. But just it's only been a few people that I really, you know how you meet somebody or you talk to somebody and you kind of, like the first person was Master P. I believe I told you guys about that before. But not the same as meeting, you know, somebody that doesn't have such a big impact on your life. Like, it's a whole different ballgame. I have all three films, and I sometimes when I'm working, I may just throw in, like, as a matter of fact, I didn't know Kid was going to be on the show until, what, a day or two ago?
Right.
I actually was watching it the other day, or it was watching me, rather. I had it on while I was doing some work. So, I mean, I literally watch it often like that. So I'm glad he's on the show.
I mean, like, and yeah, it's crazy. The day after I found out he was going to be on the show the day after I watched his TV once, I was like, thank you, God, for hooking that up.
Fleece over there in the trenches.
I'm in the trenches. You know how to cut, dude, man. If we're not at Super Bowls, if we're not at weekends, if we're not at conferences and chilling with celebrities, we out there, man.
J. Cole, shout out to
giving us this format. We're going to grow this thing, man. We out here. We workers, man.
Most definitely. Got the J. Cole event this Saturday.
J. Cole coming up on it.
So I'm about to.
Saturday.
You know I'm out here putting in that work.
Definitely. We got to get Jessica. We got to get Jay Rabbit on the line, too.
We most definitely do. And you know what I want to do before she gets on the line real quick so we can properly introduce her? Tyrone, if you can drop her, one of her favorite joints, I believe, is Brandon Hines. So, so deaf. Yes, you are.
Really?
Definitely want to. Yeah, she's feeling that song. I believe I checked that out on her tweets. And, you know, it is So, So Deaf. This is JD, G14 Radio. So let's get it cracking. T, can you drop it?
Brandon, so we're not going to talk about this right now? I'm going to work.
What's up, baby? I know some days I go without making you feel appreciated. And I just want to let you know that every day you are.
I got a song I want to sing to my number one fan. Plan to put a ring on it as soon as I can. What I mean is I don't want you to have to worry about nothing, babe, nothing, babe. I'm trying to set it out for my lady. I know you know I love you, but I want to say it again. Let you know I'm down with you, girl, till the end. But sometimes I feel you think I don't appreciate it. So every song that says I love you, I wanna dedicate it to my girlfriend. Might be my boo, you are everything.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
I'm an Aries and you're
a Sagittarius. It reads right here that you're the one that's gonna take it there with us.
Love me, have my baby ride with me to the end. Hug me when I need one and tell me that I'm your best friend.
So much in common, talk to me about everything. Keep the party jumping.
Girl, I ain't got no complaints.
Girlfriend, wife,
oh,
and mother.
That true love, call him on the phone, turn to him, send him a text, do whatever you gotta do to let him know that it's true. I said if somebody's out there that you love, you don't think they really know that you about that true love, call him on the phone, turn to him, send him a text, do whatever you gotta do to let him know that it's true.
Already, I believe we have Jessica on the line, Golden.
Yes. Is Miss J Rabbit on the line?
I'm here. How you guys doing?
How are you? We sorry for the delay.
Oh, it's fine. I was jamming. I heard you play my song. I'm so in love with him. I was like,
we know J Rabbit's coming on, so we had to pop that Brandon Hines for you. We saw you tweeting it earlier, like, that's my new jam. So he's like, all right, let's load that up for Miss J Rabbit so she could get the proper introduction, you know?
It is. I love that song. I had always been hearing it on the radio, and I never knew who it was. And then I Shazammed it on my phone, and I was like, oh, snap. And I was like, that's my new joint.
Yeah, that's what's up. That's Jermaine nice. Dupri's new artist, So Deaf in the Building. So shout out JD and Brandon Hines. They doing their thing. So you on Global 14 now, so you're going to be able to know his every move, where he's going to be touring at and everything. So he is a dope artist. He definitely is.
That's what's up. Yeah, he has good time. I love his voice.
That's what's
it's
up.
So,
well,
like,
we're gonna
get into
Miss J Rabbit.
I was watching his YouTube videos, and he's got a great voice.
He really does.
And you know, people could really sing when they sit there in front of that YouTube video and sound flawless. That's what really made me like, yo, this cat can really sing. Like, he's not. This ain't no studio effects. He's right in front of this Apple computer.
Yep, definitely. I watched his Maxwell Pretty Wings, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm so in love.
Is she still on the line?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, cool. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. Now, I was just saying that you're also a native of Georgia, too, correct?
I live here. I've been here for about 10 years, but I'm from Texas. Like, that's where I'm, like, I'm military, so I was there for, like, a long time, and military life, that's, like, a lifetime. So I'm from Texas, but I've been here in Georgia for about 10 years.
Okay. Well, our host is from Texas. Onyx is also from, I think, Killeen. She's from Killeen.
I I noticed that. Her Twitter, Onyx254. What's up, girl? Hometown.
Hey, what's up, K-Town?
Yep.
Hey, let me see if Miss J Rabbit is going to say already.
You didn't even say it right.
I'd be like, already. They be making fun of me. See, I'm glad you won tonight because I got somebody to back me up.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's what we say down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I got a lot of friends from Texas, and they all say it. I'm sorry. I'm from up north. I couldn't say it right. I didn't do it any justice. I put the proper all in and shit, like, already. I'm sorry about that.
Well, that's
guys.
Like up north. Like, don't y'all say, like, B? Like, what's up, son?
So beef, yeah,
that's
you know,
like,
so don't be up north. You mad fast.
It's like,
what's going on, yo? What's the deal?
Everything is shouty.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, everything is shouty down here.
Everything in Atlanta is shouty. I mean, what's that one thing that used to sell drugs by the corner store? He called himself Texaco Shouty. And I was like, damn, they put shorty after everything out there. That nigga name is Texaco Shouty. Damn.
Yeah. You still, like, you're not even saying it right. It's not shouty, it's shouty.
I can't do it, Joe. My bad. I cannot. As a matter of fact, I'm going to just stop for the rest of the
interview. Miss Day Rabbit, I was going to say she is a Southern girl, so you got
to. I'm going to stop for the rest of the interview. I'm not going to try to be Southern for the rest of the interview. Let's just get into talking to Miss J Rabbit and you know how she got into modeling. We definitely want to know. What was your first start? Is this something that you always wanted to do, or did something happen to make you think, hey, you know, I can do this? Let me try.
I was a big tomboy growing up. I never really wanted to be like a model, but I had always known that one day I'm gonna be like super pretty and stuff like that. But, you know, ever since I was a little girl, I always wanted to be a J Beauty. You know, all the girls, they tell their mom they want to be a J Beauty. So I always like wanted to do that, but I didn't, I don't want to say like I stumbled into modeling, but, you know, I had a lot of people telling me, oh, you're so pretty and you're this and that, you know, you should try it. So, you know, I took some pictures and just worked my way from there and did my first video with Gucci last year. And it was like once I did that, everything just kind of took off. So it's been a good year.
Well,
I'm coming up on a year since I've gotten Twitter. And that's where I like really count it from. And it's been a good year.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations for everything. We definitely want to go back a little bit, you know, and to growing up in Texas, you know what I'm saying? Growing up in Texas, you say, you know, you were a tomboy. Did the modeling start in Texas or in Atlanta?
Modeling for me actually started when I got here. I got here in 2002, like back when I was like still in high school and stuff, and I kind of started dabbling in modeling back in like 07, but I really didn't like pursue it. I really started going like hardcore at it in 2010. That's when I really started taking pictures, you know, with the right photographers, you know, putting my stuff out there, submitting to different stuff. But it was really 2010 when I started doing that. And it's really, you know, in this industry, you know, there's so many girls, you know, it takes a long time to, you know, build yourself, you know, like build a name for yourself. And so it really has been, like I said, like in this really past year where people, they recognize me or they recognize my name. But I've been going hardcore at it for about 2 years now.
Okay, that's awesome. So what nationality are you? Are you African-American? Are you mixed with anything?
I like to say that I am black and I don't know. My mom is black, and my dad, like, I don't know. So I'm black and I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But as far as I know, I'm just African-American. Everybody says I look like I'm mixed, but as far as I know, I'm not.
Well, you know what? When I first saw your images, I was like, okay, this is a beautiful woman. But first thing that I noticed were the eyes. Absolutely gorgeous eyes. Are those real?
I do wear contacts. That's because, you know, I'm blind as a bat without them.
Okay.
I do wear those, but my natural eye color is still a light color. My natural eyes are light brown. So I just feel like even lighter with the spray. But everybody tells me that I kind of look kind of like the same without them because my real eyes are light color too. And then my hair is so dark, so it's like they kind of counteract each other.
Well, you know what's funny? Even though, you know, it's sad that, you know, that people ask that, and I probably shouldn't say, hey, are your eyes real? But it's like something like,
oh,
you know,
I
you could be having color contacts on, you know, or something like that. But one thing about color contacts, everybody can't pull them shits off. Like, I seen a girl the other day, you know, she's real black with blondest hair ever, and she has some contacts in, and the shit wasn't working at all. So,
yeah, it doesn't. And that's why, when I decided that I was going to get colored ones, that I got a color that was going to accent. Because, like I said, my eyes are already light anyways. And
right.
So I just wanted to try something different, and that's how I went. I just wanted to try something different.
Okay, cool. Well, that's what's up. They look great, by the way. And also, you know, all the guys that's tuning in, hear about Miss J Rabbit, want to know those measurements. Because in the pictures, they definitely look amazing. So if you could let us know, what's the boom, bam, pow?
My measurements are 37, 27, 42. Yeah. I'm a southern girl. All this cornbread gave me a little junk in my trunk.
Awesome. Let me tell you something, though. I stopped in Texas one time in the airport, stayed for a little bit. Yo, I don't know what it is about Texas, but it is seriously. They are thick in all the right places out of Texas, for real.
Yeah, it's the
and
brisket.
I don't know what it is.
It's the brisket.
Did you say brisket or biscuits?
Brisket. It's the type of meat that we eat in Texas. It's the brisket.
Oh, okay. Okay. Damn.
Brisket and cornbread.
Briskets and cornbread. Damn. I'm going to keep that in the back of my mind. Anybody come up to me talk about they want to be a model and they don't got no cakes the way they should have it, I'm going to be like, yo, get on your briskets, yo, because you ain't got it.
You got to eat. But on top of, like, eating, you know, like the right thing, you know, you got to work out. Like, work out so much because I eat so much soul food.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you have a regimen? Do you have a regimen to keep your body in shape? Of course, you're in an industry where it's definitely mandatory. So how many times a day do you, times a week do you go to the gym?
I do. When my schedule is a little bit more free, I try to go like every other day or at least every day during the week. But when my schedule gets really busy, I kind of just have to work out when I can. I'm very lucky where I can work out and still look the way that I do, and I can, like, not work out and still look the way that I do and still, like, maintain, because even on those times when I can't work out, I still eat right, because it's really about what you eat.
Right. No, that's
like when I know that I'm not, when I know that I'm in, like, a week or so where I can't work out, I stay away from the soul food. It's real chicken and brown rice on those days.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, the eating is definitely a big part of it. So, you know, shout out to you even mentioning that to people, because I think everybody needs to try to eat, take an effort to start eating a tad bit better than, you know, you usually do if you don't already eat right. You know what I'm saying? Especially in the black community.
Diet is everything.
That soul food, that shit be having all types of niceness in it to make it taste so good. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, you got to run that shit off.
Yeah, and that's like a lot of people, they eat it, and then what they lay down and they go to sleep, and that's the worst thing you can do.
Exactly, that definitely is. So let me also ask you, do you go to school or anything, or do you have a regular 9-to-5, or are you modeling for full time?
I do go to school. I go to Columbus State here in Columbus, Georgia. I'm actually, after this semester, I'm going to be a senior now. My last semester that just passed, I was doing an internship at the district attorney's office because I'm a criminal justice major. I don't have a regular 9-to-5 anymore. I used to, but I let that go so I could concentrate more on my modeling. So now I work in sales, which is like, you know, that's a rotating schedule, and then I do my modeling stuff. And then I bartend, so, you know, I have basically like an open schedule now.
Okay, well, it seems like you got a lot of things that you're able to do. So shout out to you.
I am. I'm actually working at an event right now as we're on the phone. I stepped outside.
Oh man, she multitasking. Yeah. I like that. Well, we ain't gonna keep you that long, so they can get you out there to do your thing. But what type of event you working at? We can shout it out.
I'm actually at TGI Fridays. Centron mm-hmm. Energy Drink is having an event out here, and a bunch of models came out, talk about it and take pictures and stuff like that. So I'm here doing
nice.
That. Kind of fun, kind of good. Getting hyped about these energy drinks.
Well, shout out to Centron Energy and all the models out there working with Ms. J. Rabbit tonight. Hope y'all have a good night, you know what I'm saying? Good times. So let's get into where we can find Ms. J. Rabbit. You on a lot of print magazines right now or websites? Anything that you want can lead the people to so they can see you?
I'm on a couple different websites. I'm on Robert Jones, his website, Fantasize by RNJ. I'm on there. I'm also on Casey.net website. I'm on Tamika Phillips' website. I'm on Show Magazine website in their web portion. I just made Jet back in March.
Congratulations.
Jet Beauty of the Week. I have that. I have this magazine called Flavor Girl coming up. I have you're from up north, so you know Sweets. I have Sweets coming up. Yeah, so those are the ones that I have, like, in the works right now that are, you know, really popping off. I'll be doing an event in Miami on June 2nd for Jeezy Cashin' Out and Boomin', I want to say it is. I'll be down there hosting
okay.
the event with them. Yeah, so that's
so you got,
what
you got
I have,
a full plate.
Up and coming. Yeah,
so
I got
a full plate. Well, congratulations, especially on the Jet magazine. Nah, I hear you, man. Congratulations. Like I said, especially on the Jet magazine. That is a lot of girls' dream. You make it in
Thank
the Jet
you.
Is real dope. Congrats on that.
Thank you. Yeah, it
is.
I wanted that for a long time.
What issue is that?
I was in the week of March 19th and the week of March 26th. I actually got a 2-week run because mine had such good sales. It's the one that has CeeLo on the cover. You can only get it online now, but if you can't pull it up, the picture online, you can always pull up my Twitter because that's my Abby right now. Is my
Uncanny
Beauty feature. Yeah, and I was really excited about that because it's something that I wanted for a very long time, and it's something, you know, as far as us Black women, that's like, you know. That's like a high peak for us, you know. That's like if a Caucasian woman was to get like a Maxim, you know what I'm saying? Like that's
right.
The level of like being a beauty is. So I was really excited about that. I was real excited. It's very hard. They are very competitive. I mean, they only pick so many a year, and they critique so much. Like, I mean, it took about 3 months before I even heard anything back. So. Which was a good turnaround. 3 months is a good turnaround to hear something back. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, like I said again, I know that is a vigorous process. Definitely, congratulations on that. You did your thing with that, and like you said, anybody just can't get in Jet. That is like the holy grail for Black women models. So, you made it. That's a milestone right there. Again, congratulations.
Yeah, that's one of them. Yeah,
I'm gonna pick
that's
that
one
up.
Of them.
I'm going to pick that up. And you got a lot of stuff going on. You talked about, you touched on videos earlier. You were in Gucci Man's. Any other videos that we could look for you in?
I did Gucci's video, the Ferrari Boys, with him and Waka when they did the double album. I'm the one in the pink shorts with the white shirt. If you look.
Okay.
I just had like a little cameo in there. I've also done, it's an artist down here in Georgia named Cash P. I did his Lustin video. I'm the feature model in that. I actually have another video coming up with a group, an R&B group called Listen. They're, I don't really want to call them up and coming because they're pretty much established as far as like Georgia and really like the southern states. Listen R&B. In fact, my picture is their Abby on Twitter. It's LISSEN, the number 4, EVEA. If you go on their Twitter, I'm their Abby because I just did their Smell So Good photo shoot, and I'm also about to be in their Smell So Good video that's coming up. So I'm real excited about that.
You seem to have a lot of things.
I've
heard of that.
I have like two behind the scenes videos, yeah.
Okay. Where's your behind the scenes videos? Where can we find those?
They're on my Twitter, they're on YouTube, and they're on if you're on my Facebook is Miss J Rabbit, just like my Twitter. They're on there. I have a behind the scenes that I did with Energy Studios. That's the photographer that shot my jet feature. I have a behind-the-scenes there when I went to North Carolina. And then I have a behind-the-scenes at the Listen photo shoot that I did for the Smell So Good. I have a behind-the-scenes for that. And that's been a really popular one. Like, that's been going around. Like, everybody's been tweeting me about it. And, oh, you look so nice, yada, yada. So that was, like, really getting the circulation. Because, I mean,
well,
we got
all,
sure you know,
you check those
some boy shorts and a t-shirt.
Sure check
so.
Those out. Yeah, now we're going to make sure we check everything out and plug it for you as well. You know what I'm saying? We definitely want to make sure that everybody gets to follow what you're doing. You're really popular because we have people calling in and wanting to ask you questions. So I think we have Lucky on the line who wants to talk to you. Is Lucky there, Onyx?
I don't know if he's back live yet, but we are bringing him on. Tyrone, you got it?
Bear with us 1 second, Miss J Rabbit. You're clogging up our lines here.
I know my cue froze up. I'm like, yo, Tyrone, are you able to bring Buck live? Because I'm not able to do it on my end. If we could try back.
Hello, can you hear me?
You vibe with us? Oh, yes, we are. Buck, you vibe with G14 Radio? What's good?
Hey, what's happening? What's good? And how you doing,
my brother?
So, well, I had a question for Miss Jessica. You know,
how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing? My name, by the way, I'm Lucky. I'm with 24/7 Magazine at Indianapolis. My question for you, because you know, you said somebody being real competitive as far as the modeling thing, you know, and a lot of girls don't understand that, and you know how they say. A lot of models get ahead by sleeping with people and things of that sort. Have you came across with that situation, and what would you advise, you know, upcoming models that might come across this?
You're talking about as far as different photographers or just in the industry period?
The industry period.
It's actually funny that you asked me that. I was talking about that with some models earlier. I mean, this industry is tough, you know what I mean? Like, models, are you're going to come across different obstacles. You're going to come across people that they're going to want you to do this, but they're going to want this in return. And, you know, this is a male-driven industry. You just have to be – a model, you just have to be strong-minded, and you just have to stay on your ground. Either you're going to do something or you're not going to do it. You need to make your decisions wisely and then just know that you have to live with the consequences of whatever you do.
Okay. That's one question I had.
Oh, that definitely was an awesome question, man. Thank you. We really appreciate it, Lucky. The insight on that question was great because there's a lot of mixed feelings that we get from the models that come on the show, Jessica, even the ones that, you know, do music videos. Some say they can't stand the music videos. Some say they do like the music videos. How do you feel being on the video sets? Have you encountered it to where you don't like it or, hey, I'm here to do the job? Or are you like, I think they're fun. I like them.
I mean, my personality is I'm there to do a job, you know what I mean? And my take on it is, you know, guys are going to be guys, you know, they see pretty women, they're going to say stuff, they're going to make comments, they're going to try you. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it, they're going to, but it's all about me, it's about how I respond. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I could be a lot farther along in my career if I would, you know, do what some other girls, I'm not even going to say all, what some other girls do in this industry, but if that's what they want to do, more power to them. I'm not hating, you know what I'm saying, but me as a person, I'm going to where I want to be based off my work ethic and my talent, you know? But
no,
whatever works.
That definitely is. It's amazing, man. You know, a lot of girls that we've been having on here, which is why we started this segment, and, you know, all the morals are intact. They're going to school, excellent head on their shoulders, and we wanted to get that side out of the models. You know, we see you guys in pictures, still frames, walking around or dancing in videos, but, you know, we don't get a chance to actually know who you are. So we're definitely glad you came on the show.
Being a video vixen or you do eye candy or all of this, you know, people are like, they automatically think that you're this or you're that or you're doing this or you're doing that. And it's
right.
Not about that. Like, you do your 9-to-5 at whatever job you do, do what I do in 3 hours and I'm done. You know what I mean? Like, I take pictures. What does me taking pictures in some sexy lingerie, how does that make me anything but just a girl who's taking pictures in sexy lingerie? And a lot of people, you know, people are going to think what they want to think. You know what I mean? And you just can't let it get to you.
No, you're right. You're right. And, you know, that's why I have a couple of girlfriends that are models, and that's the exact reason why I came up with the segment, because they're great girls. They're great girls. And then, you know, we go somewhere out with them to some industry functions, and as soon as you tell them, oh, she was in this video or that video, you know, some guys are like, oh, she a video girl, let me go see what's up. And it's like, you know, nah, it's not like that. You know, like you said, it's on the individual. You know what I'm saying? And
yeah,
a girl,
if
she wasn't in the industry and she loose, she's just a loose girl. You know what I'm saying? And then you got loose girls that's in the industry. You got, you know,
right. It's
the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So I agree with you 100%. It's all about the person, you know? So guys are going to try, whether they get lucky or not.
It's on the girl. You have so many of these girls that they're, you know, trying to pay for college, or they're in college. They're getting a teaching degree. They're getting a law degree. Like, you only know what you see. Like, I tell people all the time, you know, don't let what you think you see on someone's social network make you think that you know everything about them, because you don't.
Right. Well, I tell you what, you got any model friends that's doing anything and they want to come on the cut and have their voice heard too, bring them on, you know what I'm saying? Because we definitely want to interview them.
I've been tweeting about it all day, and everybody's like, what is G14 Radio? Who's the Q? Who's Onyx? I'm like, I'm about to talk to them for the first time, too. Like, I'm about to get to know them, too.
That's what's up, and that's what it's all about, networking with good people, man, so we can propel each other to go far. You know what I'm saying? We definitely going to be propelling J-Rabbit and everything she does, looking for you here and there. We got your back now, girl. But, we got a segment on here that you can't escape. You got to do it. I tell everybody that comes on here, even though I ask you, you ready to play? It's really, I'm telling you, we're about to play. And it's called Jump On, Jump Off. I'm going to give you a series of guys' names, and you tell me who you would jump on or who you wouldn't jump on. So basically, who you feel and who you don't feel.
Okay, well, that's what's up. I'm quick to tell somebody bless their mama. Like, so if you start naming out some fine guys, I might have all jump ons. I don't know.
No, it's all good. Yo, a lot of girls have all jump ons. A lot of girls have all jump off. I try to mix it up, you know what I'm saying, because I want to see the reaction. And you'll be surprised who some girls will jump on and jump off based on what they like. So that's why we like this segment. So I'm going to start right now.
Okay.
Trey Songz, jump on or jump off?
Jump on? That's my husband. You didn't know?
Oh, you're married.
Jump on.
You're married. Okay. That's her husband. So she's definitely jumping
jump
on Trey Songz.
My
nigga, so many husbands, man. This nigga Trey Songz is a strict polygamist. What they call it? A polygamist.
Right.
Man got like a million wives.
Right.
Kevin Hart. Jump on or jump off? Kevin Hart.
Jump off.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Kevin Hart, jump off? Why?
Because, like, he's cool. Like, I like his personality, but he's so short. Let me tell you. Like, he was here, like, 2 weeks ago in Columbus. He was here. And I'm only 5'4". And I had on, like, not even, like, some really tall, tall heels. And he still came to, like, my shoulder. Like, I just wanted to pick him up and, like, give him a kiss and just, like, hold him. Like,
I don't think tall guy. Kevin Hart was the size of an action figure?
He was smaller than me, and I'm 5'4".
Dang.
So,
all right,
yeah,
Kev, well, sorry
about
that, my brother.
But he's cool,
that.
Though. He's so funny. He's one of those people where his personality outweighs his height, like, just by tenfold. Like,
nah,
but I still,
he's definitely
I
a
do
cool
it.
Brother. Definitely a cool brother.
Yeah.
Shout out to Kevin Hart. I met him before. Definitely a cool dude. We're going to move on to Fabulous. Jump on, jump off.
Ew, jump off.
Oh, shit. Not just jump off, but the ill in front of it?
He's so skinny. He needs a pork chop sandwich. He's so skinny.
So you saying he needs a brisket?
Yeah, he needs some brisket and cornbread.
Oh, damn, Fab. All right, cool. We're going to have to get him down to Texas. All right, next cat.
Yeah.
Gucci Mane LaFleur. Jump on or jump off?
Okay, like, seriously, is that, like, a real question? Like,
nah, that's real.
That,
jump on or jump
mind
off.
You, I've seen him in person. Is that a real question? Hell no. Jump off.
All right, cool. I'm not giving all right.
I've seen him in person.
Mike Epps, jump on or jump off?
Jump off.
Okay, Mike Epps, you
yeah.
won't be on Jessica
no.
Rabbit. Jump on, jump off. You gone. 50
no.
Cent, jump on, jump off.
Oh, you didn't know that was my ex-husband? Oh, jump on.
Oh, okay. So 50's the
that's
ex.
My
okay, well, okay, cool. Trey Songz and took his spot. All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
Good for 50. How about we going to go to Texas, Slim Thugs? Jump on, jump off.
Jump off, no.
Jump off or Slim Thug? Okay.
Yeah, no.
We're going to stay in mm-hmm. Texas. We're going to stay in Texas. Mike Jones. Jump on.
No,
or jump off.
Jump off.
All right.
No.
Let's take it up to Canada. Drake, jump on or jump off?
Jump off.
Yeah, I mean, you think he's too sensitive, huh?
I was going to use another word, but we'll use sensitive.
Ah, don't. You was about to call him a bitch. Yeah. We got to keep it moving for J-Rat to get us in trouble, yo. Shout out to Drake, homie. Keep singing to him, my brother. Keep singing to him. All right, we're going to go to the brothers behind bars. We got to give our incarcerated brothers some love. What's up with Lil Boosie? Jump on the chunk.
Again, is that a real question? jump
Yo.
Off.
Okay, Lil Boosie, no love. Okay, now this final person gets all the love. I want to see if you're going to give them love too. Amber Rose, jump on or jump off?
Jump off. She would jump
okay.
on before those naked pictures surfaced. Now, after that, I was like, jump off.
Okay. But see, Amber Rose gets love for all the girls. All the girls basically said they would jump on Amber Rose. And you're saying you would have, but the naked pictures turned you off.
The naked pictures, and then I don't really like the bald head, like the haircut, like the look, like I don't like that. Like, I've actually seen pictures of her when she had, like, hair, and she used to have, like,
right.
long, brown, flowing, curly hair, and it was so pretty. I like her when she had hair.
Okay. So pre-Amber Rose with the hair, you would have jumped on.
Oh, hell yeah. But with the bald, I can't
right.
fool with it. And the naked pictures, I can't fool with it.
Yo, Jessica, I really appreciate you playing that with us, man. We always have fun with that segment, so thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yo, I'm going to bring my host and co-host back on, Onyx Tyrone. Anything you want to say to Miss J. Rabbit, the lovely Miss J. Rabbit? She was so much fun.
Yes, it was. I was just over here laughing, of course, muting myself.
Nothing. I just want to say congratulations to you for everything, especially making the Jet Beauty of the Week. That's such a classic, you know, project right there. I think that, like you said, everybody wants to do that. So shout out to you for that, and congratulations on everything you have coming up.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
Most definitely. Absolutely. Tyrone, are you on the line?
Yeah, same here. I just wanted to ask, do you have any experience in runway, and how do you feel about runway?
I actually do have experience in runway, as much as I hate runway, because I really don't really qualify for it because I'm 5'4", but I am trained in it. I actually have a runway coach. I have a runway teacher. I can do runway. I just don't like to. But more power to the girls who do. I just like to. I'd rather take pictures than walk.
Okay.
Cool. I am trained in it.
All right.
That's
real dope.
That's
all
man.
I have. I definitely appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, I had
now,
fun with you guys. You guys are a lot of fun.
Nah, that's real dope, man, that she's trained in runway. That's awesome. I think everybody should at least be trained and have, you know, some type of knowledge of all aspects of the industry that they're in.
Oh,
so,
yeah. You got to work on your craft.
Really
so
dope.
Shout out.
But,
yeah.
Shout out to you for that. But I'm going to tell you right now, Ms. J. Rabbit, we had a blast with you. Hopefully all the listeners that were listening, now they know who you are. So when they approach you, they could talk about Columbus State, you know, the college years, you know, Texas, the brisket, the cornbread. Now you know a little bit about the girl, you know what I'm saying? So you can approach her the right way.
She knows about that brisket. She knows about that brisket. She'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, Onyx knows. I've seen every girl from Texas that I know is thick, period. I don't know a skinny girl from Texas, and I'm not lying. I don't know. And I'm not talking about obese women. I'm talking about in the right places. Mostly every one of them I know, straight up. So it is something down there. I just don't know what it is.
It might be. I was born in Ohio, but I'm from Texas, definitely Texas raised. But, you know, I'm no model, but I don't have no complaints.
Okay. Well, all right.
It's Texas, I guess, right?
Well,
yes.
Come on. I don't got no complaints over here. Okay.
It's not about me, though.
Nah, man, we having a good time.
But
she knows, Rabbit,
she
thank you so much. We are.
What'd you say?
I said, you know, you got some junk in your trunk over there.
So I'm told.
I 100% concur. I got it. We've talked about it before. You saw one picture. I was like, damn. Okay.
You probably looked at the picture and was like, where did that come from? We're getting corporate. I can tell y'all.
Let them know.
But we want you to give the audience all your information, your Twitter and your Facebook, so they can follow your rise to success and know what you're doing at all times, Jay.
Twitter is Miss_J Rabbit. My Facebook is the same thing. It's just instead of an underscore, it's a period. It's Miss_J Rabbit. That's my fan page. My personal page is too full, so you have to go to my fan page now. But yeah, those are the main two avenues where I talk and interact with people. Twitter's the main one. I try to tweet as much as I can. I try to tweet people back as much as I can. I'm usually pretty good at tweeting people back if they tweet me. I may not tweet you right back, but I will tweet you back.
That's what's up. Well, definitely, y'all can follow her on Twitter and Facebook. And, Jessica, make sure you follow all of us from The Cut. You know what I'm saying? We got your back 100%. So we're going to keep the network rolling, you know what I'm saying? So we'll interact on Twitter and Facebook and let the audience know whenever you're doing something in different cities or whatever have you. But, again, thank you for coming on the show. You've been amazing, and congratulations on everything, and congratulations on your schoolwork, man. Knock that thing out, girl.
Thanks. Bye. So much fun with you guys.
Aw, we're glad. definitely keep us posted on what you got going on. We will blast it for you. And make sure you tweet Brandon Hines and let him know how much you appreciate his voice.
I am. I'm probably gonna tweet him later and let him know how much I love him. I'm gonna tag Onyx in it too.
Hey, we'll tweet Mr. Dupree. Maybe we can get a retweet. Maybe we can get him to check that out.
Jermaine retweeted Jessica earlier.
Okay.
She was on the front page of the site.
Yeah.
I don't know if Jessica saw that when he put it out there, so everybody saw her on the front page.
Yeah, you're on the site, so you're in now. You're in the circle.
You're in there,
that's
girl. Yo, you know what picture we want to see, too, coming up? That picture of you in that cap and gown holding that diploma, you dig?
Oh, most definitely. That would definitely be my next Twitter, Abby, as soon as I get it.
That's what's up. Well, you take care of yourself, sweetheart. Enjoy your event tonight, and keep up with us, all right?
I will. You guys have a great night.
You too. Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
Yay, Texas was in the building. Yo, I have to apologize to any of our regular listeners because I'm actually, like, under the weather a little bit tonight, but I, you know, we had two great special guests, so it helped me to pep up and push through. So shout out to Kid from Kid and Play and Jessica Rabbit for coming through and keeping us, you know, pepped up and having me laughing the entire time, even though I was on mute. Very dope.
Definitely.
I know, Tyrone, I know we don't have much time left, but did you have anything that stood out for you in the news that you wanted to talk about?
News. All right, first thing on the news list that I have is we actually, you know, we just got through playing the jump on, jump off game. You know, speaking of jump on, jump off, you know, we actually had, I forget who it was, but we were talking to someone about Rick Ross. I don't believe you mentioned Rick Ross this evening. But one person
that
will.
Rick Ross up the list, yeah.
Right.
But
one
we
person
had somebody
that
did want to jump on the list.
Right,
week.
Right.
Somebody
we did. Well, another person that would jump on Rick Ross, allegedly, is Rihanna. So, allegedly, Rihanna is saying that, you know, there's a caption with her, a picture of her kissing Rick Ross that says, "We gonna have babies."
People are so stupid.
You know what I mean? I don't know if. Yeah, man. Like, they going hard out here. I don't know.
Rihanna's in love with Chris Brown, so I would like to see how Chris Brown is going to handle that one.
I don't know. So it's gonna be somebody, you know what I mean? So, but that's the first thing. Like, what do you feel like that about that first?
Ah, man, it just seems like this brother can't lose. That boy Rick Ross is on a major winning streak.
How do you feel if you know what I'm saying? If Rihanna came up to you and said, "Fleece, we're gonna have babies," what would you say?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd be saying too much of anything. I think whatever was available, whether it would be a bathroom stall or a closet,
oh,
or
my
anything
God.
Around, the action would might have to take place right away.
Oh, my gosh, you guys.
Yeah, definitely. We're not even hesitating.
I keep forgetting that I'm on the line with two guys and... guys will be
what
guys,
if I
right?
So you, Tyrone, she said, "Yo, I want to have babies. I want you now. You wouldn't hit that bathroom stall?"
I mean, I don't know about fun? Having no babies, because I mean, you know, I've been pretty, you know, pretty cool with my thinking cap these days, you know, and
that's what's up.
I don't think I don't care if it's Rihanna. I don't think I would still get caught up, man. You know. I might be strapped, you know what I mean? But I mean, it's gonna go down, you know what I'm saying? I'm just, it won't be raw.
Okay.
So, but anyway, let's keep it moving because like, you know what I'm saying? She hating on us. You know what I'm saying? She hating on us. But
look,
in other nah, she hating on us. But in other related news.
I'm saying.
Nah, listen. In other related news, Lil Wayne had a girlfriend. Her name is Dea or something.
Fiance, right?
Something like that. Okay, right? She is on Twitter, and because of this, he has broken up with her. There's a tweet from his Twitter that says, like my girl low key, no photo shoots, no Twitter, no none of that shit, just tune. So she's not able to do a damn thing right now except tune. That's it. So allegedly he's broken up with the girl because she had a Twitter and she did a photo shoot for a popular men's magazine and he wasn't feeling that. So you know, these days you can get broke up with for a little or nothing. You know what I'm saying?
I think
so
that
I
is
just,
hilarious. But don't be doing photo shoots and all of that. That's over the top. So,
Well, I can kind of understand where he's coming from. You know, being that anybody connected to him,
right?
It's automatically thrust into the spotlight, whether they want to be there or not.
Exactly. So
she
don't.
I'm sure he has a. I'm sure he has a real hard time trusting people, you know, and I understand how that can throw up red flags. So, I mean, you know,
that's
the situation right there.
I wonder if she asked permission or she went off and did it. Who knows? Well, not ask permission, but, you know, I wonder if she talked about it. Well, you know, how a couple should talk.
When you came to Super Bowl and I took them photos of you, did you get in trouble? Because you know how, you know me, when I take photos, you know what I mean? When I do my thing, you know what I'm saying?
He still has them. He hasn't done anything with them. And I've begged for like 2 weeks. I begged him for 2 weeks.
I haven't seen
him
get photos yet.
You haven't. I begged him.
When you took them, say, yo, Tyrone sent me over the photos. Yo,
I know.
I
begged him for like. I asked him for like 2 weeks and then I quit.
She posted one. I mean, but I feel like, you know, you might have got broken up with if you had posted them all, because you just can't be just coming out of the woodworks with photo shoots and things of that nature. You might get broke up.
First of all, I'm
tooting it. What they call it? Tooting it and booting it?
Tyrone, you too. Tyrone. Okay, it's on, guys. It is on.
Tooting it and booting it?
Listen, Tyrone is exaggerating. That's number one. And then number two is Onyx don't get broken up with, okay? And I don't even like to be broken up with, so nah, I'm just good. So I'm single. Single, like a Lil Wayne song. Single for the night. Okay, next subject. So I get in trouble.
All right. May 15th. actually, you know, DMX is going to be releasing a 10-track EP titled The Way In. It's going to have Snoop Dogg, Tyrese. It's also going to have an interlude featuring Lil Wayne. He's going to put out his 7th studio album called Undisputed. Like, first off, you know, we all know DMX has been through quite a bit. You know, we know that he's dropped quite a few albums that were very successful. He was actually on that, what was it, top 20 list that we talked about last week, I believe, as far as the biggest number of sales. The first single is actually on the Undisputed album. It's coming out June 26th, and the first single is called I Don't Dance, and it's going to have Machine Gun Kelly in it. So I'm very interested in seeing what that's going to be like. So how do y'all feel about, you know, how do you feel about DMX making a comeback and him working with some of the newer artists when he's actually spoken out against, well, I know for sure that he doesn't like Drake, you know, so he's one that doesn't bite his tongue. He says he doesn't like the way Drake walks and sings and talks, and he doesn't even like Drake's hair. He don't even like Drake's haircut, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? So it's kind of
exaggerating.
He said
damn near didn't like anything about him is what he said.
Okay.
No, and then he said I don't like his haircut. I will find the video and post it for you guys. So
yeah,
you can
I
see
think
that.
He did really say that. Yeah.
Breakfast
on,
Club.
He hates him.
Well, you know,
Breakfast
we gotta get him on the show
like
and we gotta get him on the show and find out why he can't stand the haircut. But I actually like well, y'all know I've expressed my little gratitude for DMX's music last week, so I'm looking forward to it. Am I excited about the single with Machine Gun Kelly? I can't say that I'm enthused or excited and happy about that.
I'm a wild boy.
Yeah, I don't know. I just need to see what's going on with that. I need to hear who's the producer. That's what I need to get the juice and scoop on. I want to know who produced it so I can see if I can size it up before I hear it. I hate to play it soon, but I'm not release that information.
Well, I don't think that DMX would allow a record to be put out that didn't represent what he was about.
I know that's
so
what
I mean, even though it's Machine Gun Kelly, I don't feel worried.
You don't? I don't know if I'm worried.
No.
I'm just kind of like, what is it going to be?
Let me tell you something. These niggas don't give a fuck about what we think. These niggas is going broke, and these niggas need some cheese. So any fucking body that's hot, these niggas is fucking with them. And
except
even though we don't want that record to come, that record.
Well, I'm still mad about the Brian McKnight. I mean, I didn't even go to listen. I'm still pissed off about that one.
Let me show you how your pussy works.
I'm very upset about that. I mean, I'm just not in a good mood all of a sudden with these this new music that's coming out. So we'll
that
see what happens.
Didn't know that he can squirt.
Man, I didn't look at that video, bro. I didn't watch that one. I told you I wasn't going to watch it, and I'm standing by it. I'm not selling out.
I'm not listening to it. I'm going to be honest. I'm very upset. In fact, I need to tweet him and let him know that I don't appreciate it. I forgot to do that last week.
He's going to tweet you back that you didn't know that it could squirt.
He does that. I'm spamming
maybe
him.
Maybe that'll cheer you up. Did you know that it could squirt?
Brian McKnight needs to. I have so many words for him. I don't know where to begin. Anything else that we found in the news? Interesting.
Not on my end. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm still taking in the interview. You know, I'm really It's giving me a different, you know, outlook on things. You know, it's kind of like, you know, I'm real proud of a kid, and I'm glad he's still. Or he found something else to continue to keep doing to stay around. Because we don't, it's so many of the pioneers and the people that were around in hip hop's heyday that aren't out here anymore. You know what I mean? It's kind of like they done kind of disappeared. You know, a lot of them done fell to drugs and, you know, prison and a lot of different things. And, you know, he done transitioned into the comedy, and he's actually good because I always thought he was funny even in the movie. So I'm just glad that I got a chance to talk to him. Right.
He just tracks me up for real, like natural. I don't even know if he knows. I mean, he's just, you know, random with it. I mean, you know, he's just hilarious. And,
yo, let me tell you something.
He's screaming.
Yes.
When we was chilling, we was together
everybody was chilling till about 1 in the afternoon to 1 in the morning. You talking about rolling, looking like fools wherever we was going. Like, those people must have been like, first of all, you got people that's staring, you know what I'm saying, and they're pulling up their phones. You don't know why they're putting up their phones, because you're thinking they're just going to come up to them, but they're pulling up the picture to make sure, that is him, that is him. And then they come up, you know what I'm saying, and even the people that come up, man, you know, it just turns into a big conversation, and everybody just starts laughing. Even when he goes over, like, we were at this place where this guy was playing some music, and he wanted a request. So Kid went up there and requested him to play some old Michael McDonald shit, and, you know, because the dude was really good. And even up there, you know, you see him talking to the dude, and all of a sudden you see the dude's head go back laughing like a motherfucker, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Whenever the dude starts talking to somebody in, like, a 30 seconds time, they just start busting out laughing. Like, dude is funny, man. Great time the other night with that dude.
Yes, he brings you joy in a way, and I like that about him. He has a very nice, positive vibe, and I had a couple of people hit me on the text and on Facebook and Twitter saying they were tuned in and listening and saying that, you know, they really got inspired or they really enjoyed it. And, I mean, he knows so much, and it would have took, you know, all day and night just to get more out of him. So to know that people got something from that interview, and it wasn't even that long, you know what I mean? And him just giving, like he said, the Cliff Notes version, rather, just to know that everybody felt left with something, even ourselves, is just, you got to know that's a dope person. You know what I mean? You got to know
One thing about it was he didn't actually, you know, like Fleece is explaining what the day was like with him. You know, with him walking up to people and making them laugh, you know, he doesn't have an image to uphold, you know, whereas a gangster rapper, you know, kind of got to be hard at all times because he don't want nobody to see him, you know, anything less than what he's portraying on TV and in his music. So I think that's real great that you don't have to have that type of shield up, and you can live life normally and just be yourself. That's awesome. So,
well, you know, one thing he told me the other day when we were kicking it that made me laugh my ass off. He started telling me that, you know, he's the type of celebrity that embraces what he built. Like, come up to me and talk about the Hot Top Fade. Come up to me and talk about House Party. Come up to me and talk about Class Act. Come up to me and talk about the Kickstep Dance. That's what you know me for. He was like, but I bet you won't do one thing. You won't go up to Jimmy J.J. Walker and say Dynamite. Yo, I start fucking laughing. I was like, why? He was like, that nigga will kill you right where you stand if you say Dynamite to J.J. He said J.J. rips people's head off. When you go up to him and say some shit about Good Times,
it's a couple of people
that
do
rolling,
that. It's a couple of people that do that, and I think it's so unfortunate that they don't, you know, embrace that, or they don't want to look back on it or something. It's crazy, but I've heard that several times from a lot of people. So it is nice that he's willing to talk about what, you know, he's known for in his legacy, rather than now, what we got going on now, I want to talk about now. He knows that we want to know about House Party. We want to know you. You know what I'm saying? We know you, but we really want to get to know what was it, you know, like back then. Especially, we were all so young, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So, nice.
I didn't even realize it was almost 10:30.
I know. He doesn't seem that old. He does not seem like he's talking about 20-something years. I'm like, what? Tyrone talking about 20-something years? I'm like, no way. But
yeah, because when you think about it, it's like, man, that fast. It's been because the 90s, you know, I always say that I miss the 90s, and I really do. Like, the 90s were the best years of my life, but when you think about it now, it's been 10 more years since the 90s. since
that's
we
crazy.
Came the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the 2000s, like, I can't even name anything from the 2000s that were, you know, a huge staple in my lifetime, other than I was grinding, I was going to school, I was struggling,
I was trying to get it.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing really big that went down, you know, in those years that, you know, after the year 2000 and up, you know, I was damn near a grown man. It wasn't really nothing else that, you know, that could really go down in that lifetime. So, you know, 2000s kind of sucked.
Yeah, I ain't. 2010
up, you know.
at the that 2000s. Yeah, '90s
was great.
Nineties
was
the
shit.
Nineties was amazing. Well, I know we got to get back to 2012, and I'm gonna go ahead and I guess give out my network. Yeah, it's late. We did it tonight. We did it, and I'm so proud of everybody. You guys too, especially you guys. For the successful show, and like I said, I'm just very humbled and appreciative for Kate coming on tonight, because that's just somebody that I did not even foresee that I would ever be able to talk to. And it's funny to think that, you talk to JD, but then when you, somebody like Kid, you never think you can reach. So, super cool. Well, again, for everybody that listened, thanks for joining us tonight. We are going to ride out. We extended a little bit of time tonight. Special thanks to our guests, Jessica and Kid, again, from Kid and Play. And you can also make sure to check out global14.com, which is Jermaine Dupri's social networking site, and follow the Twitters at global14 and at G14 Radio. And I'm your host at ONYX254. Passing the mic.
At Brightwood ENT. And at The Glue, THAGLUE.
And we will be back next Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. And we're going to ride out to Ain't Gonna Hurt Nobody by Kid and Play.
Kid and Play. Yeah.
Aw, yeah. Feels good. Time has come to enjoy myself. I've left my problems up on the shelf. The workday's over and I got it made. Like Johnny Kemp said, I just got paid and I'm ready to mingle. Young man single and free, ready to get busy. Down to party hardy and have a good time. All I need is a partner in crime. Call up the homies and hope they might say they're down to paint the town red tonight. Look in the closet and pull out the hype gear. Hook up the high top fade and I'm out of here. To a disco or a party of some kind. Hope that I would find myself a good time. Before I'm through and the night is done, man, I'm gonna have fun.
Ain't gonna hurt nobody.
At the door, cause for sure you're gonna see a smile today. The problems of the world seem miles away. The only thing that matters is a good time that can be had with the help of a good rhyme. The DJ's hype more than up to par. Uh-oh, there goes a cutie at the bar. So I stroll on over and say hi, and tell her I'm the PLAY, and would she like to dance a while? I'll do anything to see you smile. You see, my job is to take you higher. After a couple of songs I'll inquire. Having fun? Well, I ain't done. The best is yet to come.
Ain't gonna hurt nobody.
Hung out with friends
and hit the skin.
Next week we're gonna do it again.
Yeah.